Blog Talk Radio.
Recognize hearing this early into the show. Welcome to the Madam Voice, the September 24th edition, the week 3 recap show, featuring yours for the first time, the star of the show, a man in which all of you hold dear in your hearts, a man in which all of you look up to, and a day in which, quite honestly, all of you are looking forward to. I am the one and only Madden Nation Season 4 contestant, one of the greatest to ever do it, K-Star. And, I mean, guys, before I bring on the other two co-hosts, I just want to say that, you know what? Week 3 was kind of weird. And I also want to say to all of you out there that I'm sorry again that it took this long. I'm sorry as the star of the show that I kept you guys waiting breathlessly. I'm glad all of you guys did not hold your breath, but if you did, hopefully you had a lot of it. But again, I do not do this show alone. And I'm going to bring to you the other co-host. We're going to bring in a man in which, quite honestly, typically does this. This is a guy who's always doing this stuff. And it kind of has a nod off a little bit in a little, you know, more reduced kind of role. And we're about to bring him on here. Before we do, let's give him a round of applause. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. He gets off to a warm introduction. My words. You know what? We hit a rap beat. We gave you some applause. But honestly, I just want to personally say, welcome to the show, T. Welcome to K-Star's world.
Hey, you know what? I get used to this. I'm sitting here on my couch. I'm sitting here. I got a glass of wine in my hand. And you know what I'm saying? I haven't even looked at the Madden Voice page at all. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I got to admit, K-Star, you're sounding pretty good, brother. I cannot lie, man. I got to admit, I mean, I've heard Dr. Train host, and I told him, you know, he was a little nervous when he first did it. But then after he got comfortable, I told him, I said, you got a nice little flow, Train. I like it. Now, K-Star, I got to say the same thing, brother. You sounded kind of natural. I got to admit, I like it. I like what I'm hearing.
Hey, man, well, listen, I appreciate that very much. I'm glad that, and typically I don't use the saying very much, but I'm glad that Real recognizes Real here in this situation. Because T's a great host. I just want to put that out there. But, hey, I appreciate the warm response to it. And now let me bring in the reason why I'm actually hosting this show, this guy, due to his 3-0 football team. A guy, and honestly, I think this is appropriate to bring him into. We're going to pick this.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Welcome to the show, you and your 3-0 Bears. The reason, again, why I'm hosting, I had to give you a nice little intro. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Bravo, K-Star, bravo. Oh, my goodness. Man, thank you.
Yeah.
Got me laughing so hard, my jaws hurt.
Yeah, no, that hurt me, actually, doing that. But, I mean, hey, it is what it is. Listen, the Bears... Other reason why I'm here right now hosting this show for the first time. It came to this, and you know what? I'm not really happy about it, but obviously you are, so I felt like that was a very appropriate introduction for you. And let's get to that game. Let's talk about what happened to my seemingly pathetic and very bad Pittsburgh Steelers, which, by the way, does not roll off the tongue quite well at all for me. They're not used to this happening. Honestly, I feel it's awkward. I've got to be honest with everyone listening out here. The Bears won the game 40-23. Honestly, guys, what happened was we were the Pittsburgh Steelers kind of got blown out. It wasn't at all what I was expecting. I went to the bar with my girlfriend expecting to actually not have to host the show. I expected my 0-2 Pittsburgh Steelers full of Super Bowl champions, littered with Super Bowl champions, with the Super Bowl head coach to get it together. I expected Ben Roethlisberger, Troy Polamalu to find some kind of ounce of greatness that they, by the way, Troy definitely still has had since Ben, but they couldn't put it together. No, because there's a lot of other football players on our teams and on our team here in Pittsburgh, and let me tell you, they're not. This isn't what it was. So, Train, as we all know, your team won 40-23. Tell me, first of all, what's your reaction just to everything that's taking place and to hearing my voice grace the airwaves right now as a host? All right, let's get that first, by the way.
Well, I just want to let the fans know the reason why you sitting in that seat is due to me and my Bears. So, yeah, we'll take 1 point for that. Second, as far as the game, I'm not going to beat up on you too bad because the Bears have already done it. You know, at one point, the Steelers looked like they wanted to actually win. You know, it took a momentum shift with a roughing the kicker penalty to get it going. But, you know, you looked like y'all were actually like, we want to win this game. And then someone told the defense they need to wake up and put this thing away. I told you they should have left Big Ben in the locker room. I don't know. He was just giving us gifts left and right. Take the ball. I don't know what to do with it. I want it out of my hands because the defense came to play, and what they did with the turnovers was awesome. I'm just glad to see my team play four quarters. Because had we not played four quarters, we could have let that game slip away.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, it was 24-10 at halftime. It got ugly quick, by the way. My hope, you know, I turned this game on again. I'm at the bar with my girlfriend. Like, immediately, just things go terrible. Like, not even, like, at the beginning, looking like we had a puncher's chance in this game. And it was beyond frustrating. I just, at one point, I sat at the table with holding my head with both hands. It was that bad. And as a Steelers fan, again, not quite used to doing that, down 17-0 almost immediately in the first quarter. You know, it's 24-10 at halftime. We started mounting a comeback with Ben, found, you know, Antonio Brown on a beautiful one-hand catch by Antonio Brown. Shout out to him and that nice play he made. But sadly enough, it took, you know, Big Ben and Steelers to mount a comeback by basically abandoning our offensive game plan, which, by the way, Todd Haley, I can't wait for you to not be here anymore. Let me just say, I cannot wait for Todd Haley to not all be involved in the Steelers organization whatsoever, because this is a guy who I feel like is holding our team back. We've always had offensive line problems, and I'm going to get into the Bears more here. Let me just get in a rant real quick. But we've always had offensive line problems, yet, no, T, I hear you, and trust me, you're more than welcome to join here in a second. And then Big Ben and the Steelers offense have always overcome these issues, these problems, because Big Ben's, you know, ability to create plays down the football field, and unfortunately, we just want to dink and dunk and try to run the ball into 11 defensive players who are immediately waiting for it at the line of scrimmage because we can't run the ball at all. It's pathetic. The game plan is terrible. But, again, credit Chicago. Defense took the ball away literally at one point from Ben Roethlisberger's hand. Kind of ridiculous. T, I know you want to jump in here. What are your reactions to the game?
As I'm pouring another glass of wine because I can't. I'm really enjoying this. First of all, before I talk about the game, I just want to say that I was talking with my moms, okay? And my mom was like, "Are you still doing the radio show?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, she goes, "When's the next show?" And I said, "Tuesday night." And she said, "Oh, maybe I'll listen in." I said, "Well, you can." I said, "But I'm actually not going to be hosting. One of the other two gentlemen are going to be hosting, and they have a bet. And I said, you know, I explained it to her, and she said, who do you think is going to win? And I said, well, I think the Steelers are going to lose, and I think K-Star, you know, is going to be hosting. And I said, you know, I'm so often right on the show that I think I'm going to change my name. And instead of being the commissioner, Commissioner T, I think I'm going to start being known as the Omniscienter, because I'm omniscient.
Oh, here we go.
Because I said,
oh, my goodness.
Last year, and I said, and Train will co-sign this one, okay? Train will co-sign this one. I sat here and told this young man that we know as K-Star. By the way, I started watching Mad Nation Season 4. I said, you know, I keep telling everybody else to watch it. I'm going to watch it again. And I've watched two episodes. I watched the first episode where my old nemesis, Yo Mama, got voted off or got booted off the bus. And now I'm on this. I just watched the second episode where you, the very own, our very own K-Star, took out Truth and sent him home. So I've gotten through two episodes. Everybody, you guys, got to check out Madden. It's funny. I know most of the guys that were on the bus, so it's even more funny for me personally because I know most of the guys. Plus, knowing K-Star as well as, you know, K-Star, and listen to him cap, and, you know, it's enjoyable. But even if you don't follow Big Time Madden and you just like watching just something, competition, these guys are funny, and it's good. It's a good show. So, you know, I may go back and watch all of them again, you know, go back to season one. But I said, let me watch season four because our boy's on there. But anyway, I digress.
You don't have to, by the way. You can just keep going. But, yeah, no, go ahead.
I had to get the spot, man, because you took Truth out, man. It wasn't even a game. I mean, you whooped him. You whooped him like you was his daddy and told him while you was whooping him. It was just bad. And I like Truth, a.k.a. Dan Brown. He's a friend of ours, and he's a good dude, but you whooped him bad. But anyway, that's another conversation. The point remains, I told you last year about Todd Haley. I told you that he ain't going to work for you guys, that he's not going to fit. And you said, you know what you said. I'm not going to repeat what you said, but you said what you said. And it's so refreshing. It's just, I'm going to have another sip of wine. Hold on. Wait. boy, that's good. To hear you finally come around and say he's got to go. Because he, I'm not saying he's the only reason. But he is a large reason why the offense is stagnant. Because Big Ben is the truth. That is a great quarterback. Okay.
Yeah, he is. Man, he kept you guys alive for the longest.
Big Ben is the only reason you guys have any chance in any of these games. He is a great quarterback, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. He's not given anything to work with because the scheme doesn't fit Ben's abilities and his talents. You have him constrained, Todd Haley, which is what I knew you were going to do because that's what you do. You don't evaluate your personnel and come up with a scheme that fits your personnel. You come in and try to force feed what you think is best, regardless of what the personnel dictates, regardless of what the defense dictates. And thus you have a Steelers team that is 0-3, that has injuries, has problems, but should not be 0-3. Let's just be honest. You guys are better coached, and the personnel you do have, your defense alone should keep you in some of these games. Should. Except the fact
that
the offense can't stay on the field long enough to get the defense rest because Todd Haley doesn't know how he's doing.
Really doesn't. Actually, correct.
It's true. So as much as we want to get up on it, it's kind of almost not your fault. But let me just say this, Trang. Them Bears, man. I gotta play them Bears in November. man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed all the way around, man. I mean, the defense is still doing what it always does. It shuts people down and it gets turnovers and it gets points off turnovers. So the defense is doing what it's always done without Urlacher, which is amazing to me. But still getting it done without Lovie Smith, who we know is a defensive genius, and still getting it done. But the offense. Looking good, man. Now, I still got my reservations about Cutler, but I can't say anything bad about him.
He made some big plays.
Right now, he's getting it done. So, I mean, I have to say that the Steelers are underachieving a bit because of Haley, but I can't take anything away from what the Bears are doing, man. The Bears are looking really serious right now. Like,
arguably behind the Seahawks, I say maybe the second best team in the NFC right now. They're looking that good.
Yeah. They're looking so serious out there. And, Trent, I know you want to chime in, but I just got to finish this rant real quick. the thing that just bothers me the most, okay, first of all, my Steelers, the organization, Pittsburgh Steelers, since the Super Bowl era, obviously, and if you listen to the show, clearly you know this. If you watch football, you know this. The Pittsburgh Steelers have more Super Bowls than anyone. They have six. They've been eight. Now, the Steelers organization is an organization I trust, and with their pedigree, most of them should. But let me tell you something. The reason why we even got to Haley, the reason why any of this happened is because the Rooneys wanted to run the ball more. They wanted to bring a stable run game. They wanted to try to protect Ben Roethlisberger, which makes sense in theory. So what they decided to do was they forced Bruce Arians, now the head coach of Arizona Cardinals, we saw what he did last year with Indianapolis, resign. And let me tell you something. Big Ben was very upset about this. Big Ben loved Bruce Arians, fought it. But I think my Steelers are the only organization, and again, I understand that we have a high pedigree and I can trust them pretty much almost all the time. But we're the only organization that would tell an elite quarterback these days, hey, we don't care what you want. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to run the ball. And by doing this, we actually run our offense into the ground because we brought in Todd Haley, and it's disgusting to me. And you're right. Big Ben's the only reason why we're able to come back. But the thing is, it's because we actually took the chains off Ben Roethlisberger, who, you know, is like Dingo out on the football field right now, and he seems to be released. Someone come save us. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it bothers me so much because I feel like with our offensive line, it's always been bad. Our running has been bad for years. So we've overcome it offensively because of Ben Roethlisberger. I'm disgusted. But the Bears are absolutely looking serious. Trane, what are your thoughts on Todd Haley? And do you think the Steelers have a chance going forward the rest of the way with him still as their offensive coordinator?
I understand Todd Haley may not be doing the best of job, but to be honest, you guys came in this season kind of set to be better at the run. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, before he got injured, he was doing pretty good. He shined during the preseason. And you guys knew what you had at running back. And you had decent depth behind him. His injury was a big setback, along with the fact that you lost your starting center, who was taken out by his own man, who blindly dived at the legs of people blocking. Yeah. I don't know who does that. Yep. These football players sometimes look like idiots. But, you came into the season prepared to have the personnel to run the ball, and I honestly feel like the injuries is more of the bigger problem than Todd Haley is. You guys have significant injuries. Y'all are not just missing – you're not missing reserves. You're missing your center who helps the quarterback make the play calls, who helps get the line in order before the snap. You're missing your top running back who has the ability to hit the hole and then break out of the hole and make some separation between it once he gets to that second level. I think that's big. I think that's huge. But – with that said, Todd Haley also needs to make the adjustment. Jonathan Dwyer is not going to get it done at running back.
And neither is Felix Jones.
He said neither is who?
Felix.
No, neither is Felix. I mean, you have to run the ball to keep defenses honest, but you have to find a way to get the other playmakers involved because I'm going to tell you, the times that you guys did complete passes – and you got it to Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, I have to hold my breath because I know those two are fast. I know once they get the ball in their hands, they know how to get yak quickly. And so he has to find a way to get them into the game more because that's where your strength is now. Now, also, moving forward, you guys get Bell back, so maybe the run will pick up a little more. He's supposed to play this week.
That's the hope. So, I mean, I know it's ridiculous to expect this.
Wait. Bell is expected to play this weekend?
Yes. Yeah, Bell is expected to play this week.
Okay. Yes, just because I have him in our league along here. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely.
You're welcome.
So, the Steelers are 0-3. It's definitely a pain time, Pittsburgh. But to be fair, The Steelers do have some key contributors returning. Heath Miller, his first game action since tearing his ACL last year. And we do have Le'Veon Bell returning in London, of all places, to play the Vikings, who are also 0-3, who are sharing our misery. But fact of the matter is, they still have Christian Ponder, like our odds there. You know, so it's not all hope is lost, although it's tough to really be positive. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not crazy enough to think, like, you know, that this
the playoffs. Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
I mean, no one's talking about that, obviously, in Pittsburgh. But if we just get one win, I'll feel really good about myself and my team. And maybe we can talk about that. But, you know, again, a little encouraged. We have some healthy bodies coming in back in, you know, when we play the Vikings in London this upcoming Sunday. But, man, Trent, 3-0, the Bears. 3-0, and they're playing. You know, what's amazing to me is that throughout the years, the Bears really have shown an inability to mount comebacks if their defense isn't playing well. And they've shown they've lacked the ability, so it seems, for a few years now to close games out. And Jay Cutler this year, so far through three games, has been absolutely money, absolutely clutch. He's been a guy in which I don't really recognize. I mean, hey, he's been terrific. And like T was saying earlier, he needs to play the Cowboys have to play the Bears in November, and he's not looking forward to that. And honestly, I don't think anyone and the NFC is looking for, is happy to see that the Bears are doing what they're doing right now, actually putting together offense with obviously still a very hungry playmaking defense. And
can I ask Train a question on that note? I'm curious, because all of us felt the firing of Lovie Smith was premature.
Oh, I was about to get to that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I don't have this agenda in front of me, but I'm curious if I don't want to say that Lovie should have been fired, but how much credit do you give the new coach for your 3-0 start? And you know, without necessarily getting too technical, what's different in your team this year versus last year under Lovie Smith?
Man, that's a very good question, T. I spoke on this like several times with Femi. But What's definitely different is the Bears' ability to move the ball offensively. I mean, and that's. I mean, you can see that with your own eyes. They are able to move out simply because the head coach is offensive-minded. Defensive coordinator came in, Mel Tucker. He didn't change the defense. He put his own little flavor in there to maybe blitz a little more. So that's why you see DJ Williams blitzing in the middle. You didn't see Urlacher blitz a lot. I mean, the cover two is designed for front four to get pressure only. But Mel Tucker likes to put in a few more blitzes here and there. But he chose to learn the terminology, learn the defense that was already in place, so because we had so many veterans. So, I mean, to me, the biggest difference from Lovie is the fact that we can move the ball offensively. It's almost comparable to the defense. We're able to come back in games. We're able to close out some games when the offense needs to make a play. And, you know, I don't know, you know, you never really saw much about Lovie Smith's preparation for games. You never really read much about it. And not to say he wasn't prepared, but you could almost see just a bit of a difference in Trestman, the way he prepares the game. But Lovie Smith laid a solid foundation with the way that defense is set up, with the way that defense performs. And Trestman came into a great situation to inherit that, and he already had the talent on offense. He just needed to figure out how to use it. Lovie Smith's only mistake, and I keep saying this, his only mistake was not being able to find the right man to fix the offensive side of the ball. Had he done that, he'd still be the Bears head coach today.
You know, I was actually about to bring this up and actually eat some crow myself because, and again, it's early, because my biggest fear for you guys was the fact that I was curious and wanted to see if that high level of defensive play would still manifest itself this year, even under, you know, Coach Trestman, which it has. That was my biggest worry for you guys that you guys could actually sustain that level, high level play and create your turnovers, score touchdowns, take the ball out of my quarterback's hand and just steal it, do things like that still, and apparently you guys can. So that is huge, and you're right, absolutely. I mean, you guys finally, because, hey, you know, let's face it, trust me, an offensive guy, but moreover, a great teacher, from what I understand, of quarterbacks. And that definitely, I think, has really helped improve Jay Cutler. I mean, even his mechanics typically have been sloppy, but not this year. I really haven't noticed him with little sidearm balls. I mean, still, it'll happen, but his mechanics look to be a little bit cleaned up. And I think that's a big deal. I mean, clearly, it's obviously helping and aiding the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But Trey, I got to ask you one question before we move on. Now, I know a lot of people in Chicago are feeling a little frisky over these changes. And I mean, lately, I've been, ever since Sunday night, let me tell you, I live in Indianapolis. There are definitely a lot of Bears fans here who live here, so I've had to hear about it. And honestly, I mean, some of the stuff I'm hearing is kind of crazy. I'm hearing stuff like, I mean, is this a possibility? Oh, God.
Man, let me put it to you this way.
Train was about to get up and start dancing. You played one.
Hey, almost. Dude, it's the NFL. All you need to do is make the playoffs. So I'm not listening to that song. I don't want to hear that song. I don't want to think about the Super Bowl shuffle till I know in January Chicago is still playing ball. We need to make the playoffs first. Everybody know once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. The Giants have proved that. Steelers have proved that.
Yep.
I mean, teams who no one even picked, the Ravens have proved anything can happen once you make it. And Chicago has a team that's good enough right now, today, to make the playoffs.
You're in a very modest, which is good, considering I'm hosting right now, and let me tell you, I appreciate your modesty in this whole situation because you could be obnoxious right now. And honestly, the only thing I could do, aside from continue to host the show, is mute you for a second. But I need to. I need you guys to do the show. So
I'm definitely not getting a big hit. We have a long season to go, man, and our schedule does not get easier at all. So, yeah, playoffs. That's all I want to see is just let us get to the playoffs.
Absolutely. Now, let's turn it over to a team a little farther west coast, and actually a team in which plays in the same state as you now currently reside in, Trey, the San Francisco 49ers. So big, bad, tough bullies in San Francisco who have been known to punch people in the mouth, actually got punched in the mouth from a team that comes from my way, the Indianapolis Colts, coming into San Francisco, a game which no one anticipated for the Colts to come in and win, especially in the fashion in which they did. Winning 27-7. First of all, let me tell you guys, I'm glad I was not in Vegas, first of all, because the line before this game was that I believe it was Niners favored by 10 points. I absolutely thought, and I promise you, I absolutely thought the Niners were going to crush the Colts, just based off matchups alone, the fact that they have an overbearing offensive line that can pound the football, the fact that they played so horrifically in Seattle the previous week, I figured they would get up for this home game to redeem themselves. And also because the Colts, while a good playoff team, I didn't think that they were on par at all with San Francisco, and boy, was I wrong. The Colts came in there and absolutely ran and pounded the Niners down the throat with Trent Richardson and Mon Bradshaw all over the place. It was amazing, and the Niners' offense couldn't get anything going. Colin Kaepernick actually finishing 13-27, 950% passing, guys, with a pick attached to him, and a rating of 49.9. QBR of 11.8, couldn't get anything done. Frank Gore pounded the ball at 11 attempts for 82 yards. It was very effective. Now, guys, there's seemingly a lot of problems brewing in San Francisco. For one, they're 1-2. No one anticipated this, again, especially the way in which they just lost. But is it panic time in San Fran land? I mean, we just saw, again, them get crushed by Indy. You have, I don't know if you guys heard this yet, Frank Gore apparently having quite a few words with Jim Harbaugh after the game.
being that he only had 11 carries. And let me remind you, for 82 yards, which goes to show you, this is actually a bit poorly coached game by the San Francisco 49ers, which we haven't heard this under Harbaugh, honestly. And again, to top it off, and more of a serious note, Alden Smith has left the team for an indefinite period of time due to, on Friday before practice, this man was actually caught with a DUI, hit the tree, apparently driving while drunk, had marijuana attached to him, and also apparently when he was pulled over by the cops, when the cops actually got to him, with the tree, this man had his foot on the accelerator, as reports suggest, which is a little bit worrisome considering that, when it happened, by the way, I immediately thought to myself, why would the Niners play this guy Sunday? So I'm glad that the owner absolutely took initiative and told him, hey, Alden, you need to get help, because I'm not really sure how Harbaugh would have done that. But saying that, what is the biggest problem with the San Francisco 49ers? Is it time to panic? Is it too soon? What do you think, T, as we bring it your way?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's time to panic. This is a team that just won a Super Bowl. And I think that it's a younger team with a younger coach, starting quarterback in his third year, first, second year as a starter. And while they do have a few veterans on there, this team doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. We're not talking a Steelers team or a 90s Cowboys team that has been through this. It's hard enough to win a Super Bowl. It's been proven that to repeat and get back in the playoffs alone is a chore. Never mind winning a second Super Bowl. Teams adapt, teams adjust, and that's what we're seeing. The first game they played, they looked great. They looked great against the Packers. The second game they got whooped, but it was the Seahawks, and everyone
it was understandable.
So it was understandable. This game was a surprise, even though they're playing a playoff team from a year ago. Let's not sleep on the Colts that went 11-5 last year and went to the playoffs with their number one draft pick quarterback, who I'm sure went in here and had a chip on his shoulder and said, let me show this guy why I was the number one draft pick.
Coach from Stanford, Jim Harbaugh,
And he certainly went in to want to show his coach something, too. Absolutely. I don't think it's time to panic at all. I think that they have all the tools necessary to rebound, and they have the perfect game to rebound. They're playing the Rams Thursday night. I mean, they're going to go in, and they're going to mollywop the Rams, and they're going to be back to 2-2, and they're going to be heading right back down the same road. I think it was one of those games that they just didn't play well, nothing went right, and I'm not worried about the 49ers at all. I'm not worried about them a little bit.
All right, well, understandable, but I do want to remind you that while they play the St. Louis Rams this Thursday, which should seem like an easy game considering how they just got crushed by your Dallas Cowboys, even the Niners last year didn't actually beat the Rams. I'm aware. I mean, I'm simply saying they actually didn't beat them last year. They went 0-1-1, actually tied them one game. So I don't think it's, a division rival. They have, in my estimation, some serious problems. I don't think it's necessarily time to panic, but whenever you have the first rumblings of a problem in the locker room, Frank Gore, a seasoned veteran, getting into a Jim Harbaugh. When you have Alden Smith, I can't overstate this, Alden Smith, the sack leader from last year, the young phenom pass rusher off the edge for the San Francisco Niners, having problems with alcohol, and just personal problems in general, being suspended, or not suspended, but leave of absence indefinitely.
He's
in rehab.
He'll be back.
I mean, can they survive for a month? I mean, Train, what are your thoughts on the 49ers and what's going on there? I mean, no one anticipated all the problems that they would have this early in the season or really at all. What do you think?
Well, I will say the Indianapolis win was a definite surprise. I mean, I figured it would be a good game, but it's one that I definitely thought the 49ers would win. But when you look at the 49ers now moving forward, I wouldn't say it's time to panic, but they do have problems. Missing Alden Smith would be huge. Yeah, he led them in sacks. He's their sack leader. I mean, he plays opposite of Justin Smith, and he plays opposite of him really well. and he's able to get those sacks because he plays opposite of Justin Smith, but that's a big loss. Also, Patrick Willis also got injured in that game. Vernon Davis got injured in that game, and no one knows the status of them moving forward. The St. Louis Rams would not be a cakewalk for them. Yeah, it was last year, but the St. Louis Rams do have a tough team. Congrats to Dallas for running over them, because I think Dallas is a good team. They're a better team than the Rams, and they showed it. But when you talk about division games, it's a different ball game, and we all know how tough it is to win a division game because you play them twice a year. They know you better than anyone. This would not be an easy game for San Francisco, and it could be possibly one that San Francisco loses going to Dallas. I don't know what happened with the fact that I didn't see the game, so I don't know how Frank Gore yards came, but 11 carries, 82 yards, and he didn't get the ball more. And if I'm not mistaken, that was still a close game by halftime.
It was. And actually, by the way, the one scoring drive when San Francisco had was all because of Frank Gore leading them down the football field, literally punishing the Colts. It was ridiculous.
I don't understand what happened to move away from him when actually before we saw Kaepernick throw the ball, Frank Gore was it. It centered around, you know, Kaepernick was successful because they were able to run the ball really well, and to leave that makes no sense to me. I mean, you are a running team. Use that. I mean, teams are going to prepare for the read option, so they're going to watch Kaepernick, and do you try to live and die by that, you get your offense shut down. It's also showing that, especially if Vernon Davis doesn't return back soon, now you're down to Anquan Boldin. That's it. I don't know who else is throwing the ball to. Kyle Williams, he's just fast. He doesn't catch everything coming his way, and it's obvious that they miss Crabtree. It hurts them even more now that they don't have Crabtree, because he doesn't have the targets. And if you don't have the targets, like any young quarterback, you're going to hold on to the ball. You hold on to the ball, it leads to sacks, incompletions, interceptions.
Hey, let me just say this. I saw a scuttlebutt on Twitter last night, people predicting that the Raiders were going to go in and upset the Broncos, that it was a trap game for Denver, and they were going to sleep on the Raiders. Raiders had the number three pass defense in the NFL, and they can put pressure on Peyton Manning, and look out. Well, we saw what happened, okay? It was never really a game. I'm not saying it's going to be that lopsided Thursday night. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm trying to tell you guys that this team does have a Super Bowl pedigree. They didn't have that last year. They hadn't gone through what they went through when they played the Rams. Well, they've gone through and won the big game. And I'm telling you guys that this is a statement game for the 49ers. If they lose Thursday, I'm going to come in with a whole different philosophy on the 49ers. But this is a statement game for them. Division game on the road, and I think they're going to make a statement. And let me be perfectly clear, as Richard Nixon used to say, I'm not taking anything away from my very own Dallas Cowboys and what they did to the Rams, but the Rams are not very good. They're just not, okay? And again, I'm not taking anything away from the dominance my team did to them. Every NFL game is a competitive game, and you're playing against professional athletes. But watching that game as closely as I did, if the 49ers can't go in there and beat up on these guys, I don't care if it is a division game. You know, if you can't go in there and beat up on these guys, then you then my whole – you're right, and I'm done because they're in trouble. Now, I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs if they can't go in and beat the Rams.
To be honest, I mean, I hate to go back to that, but that was the same thing last year. When you looked at the 49ers last year, honestly – they should have went in there and took it from the Rams.
But you missed my easily. Main point. You missed my main point. They now have a Super Bowl. You are now the champion.
I don't think that holds here. Not for this division game. I just don't. I disagree with it. I may be wrong, but I don't think that holds any water here.
Dude, you're a champion. It doesn't matter, is it? You are the world champion.
NFC championship champion. That's it.
I'm sorry. The Ravens won. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, they have a Super Bowl appearance. They don't have a Super Bowl.
You are the NFC. You are the conference champions. That means something. That holds some weight. That holds some water. You have to go in there and hold court now. You are now 1-2, and your season is on the brink, and you are playing a division team that you're going to have to see down the road. Oh, yeah. This is a statement game.
They've just laid two eggs, bro. Two eggs, not one, but two. Because we can defend them losing to Seattle, but they don't feel the same way about it. So they've laid two eggs in a row. Trust me. This is the game for them to come in and dominate. And if they don't,
yeah, no, there's gonna be some issues. They need some guys to get healthy, that because they're losing people left and right. Already lost before. I mean, just in OTAs in June, they lost Michael Crabtree for quite a extended period of time. They lost Vernon Davis. They're without Alden Smith for about a month. You know, they are honestly, and it's very early. Absolutely, at the crossroads. This early in the season, they absolutely are, because let's be honest, they're in a division with the Seattle Seahawks, and guess what? They're 3-0, and they destroyed the Niners already. They had to try to make pace with them, and the NFC is very competitive. I mean, this is a conference which is not the AFC. It is actually really good. So the Niners really need to get together, and if they don't get together against the Rams, then yes, they are in absolute trouble. But aside from San Francisco, let's go back to the – let's actually get some the Indianapolis Colts some credit. They ran the ball down the throats. And the addition – of Trent Richardson, by the way. I want your guys' thoughts on the Trent Richardson Indianapolis Colts trade, because this is a team, the Indianapolis Colts, who absolutely wanted to go to a power run game. And they traded and gave up a first-round pick to acquire Trent Richardson, the third overall pick from last year's draft, the playmaking Trent Richardson that the Browns were hoping he'd be, is now shipped over to Indy. So, to me, this is a big statement trade for Indianapolis Colts. We'll see if it pans out. Time will tell. But what are you guys' thoughts on the Trent Richardson trade that took place last Wednesday night, already paying dividends as he helped the Colts win it here in San Francisco? Steve, we'll start with you. Trent Richardson.
It's a win-win. Cleveland needed far more than Trent Richardson to get anywhere. And I think it's a smart move to realize that your team's not going very far. Are you making a statement that you're giving up on the season? I mean, that's one way to look at it, you know. But I also think you're looking out for the long-term success of the franchise. And this is how teams start to build success, is racking up on those first-round draft picks. It's how Dallas did it in the 90s. It's how many teams have done it since the turn of the century, racking up. You know, the Patriots are known for having two and three first-round draft picks by making smart trades. And to me, it's a win-win. The Colts needed a power back, and the Browns realized that, you know, while he's a great back, their needs are far greater, and the only way they're going to address that is free agency and in the draft. So I think it's a win-win. I truly believe it was a smart move for both teams.
Well, yeah, I screamed crazy when I first saw it. Because, like, this guy's only in his second year, and you can build, but – I mean, then they turn around and beat Minnesota. I had to laugh at that, too.
With a new quarterback.
Yeah, with a new quarterback on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a fan. I'm not a GM. But I do know that you successful teams build their teams through the draft. And the only way, and if you think this draft class is going to be one that's going to be deep, one that you can definitely rebuild your team, it's a smart move by the Browns from that point of view, in my opinion. As far as the coach, it's definitely a win-win. They were just, I mean, the owner was just harping about he wants more protection for Andrew Luck. Well, one of the ways you protect your quarterback is running the ball more, running the ball
that's
better.
That's running the quarterback. Absolutely.
And having both Trent Richardson and Amon-Ra Bradshaw, knowing that Trent Richardson would probably be the future of their running back situation, barring that he stays healthy, definitely a good move by the Colts. And it definitely makes them a better team moving forward.
I absolutely agree. I think this actually puts Indianapolis, not that they weren't on the map already, even more so, especially what they did to San Francisco, but I think this makes them – you know, a legitimate as an AFC. I mean, let's just take Denver out of the equation right now, because they're just right now Peyton's on the planet, the whole team. But as far as the AFC goes, I mean, acquiring Trent Richardson, who, by the way, I feel from watching him, is a very talented back. He's a big bruising kind of running back, and a running back that's perfect for the system they have in place now in Indianapolis with Pep Hamilton, new offensive coordinator. previously Andrew Luck's offensive coordinator at Stanford, and a guy who really is all about the run game. And, again, we already saw it early pay dividends. His first carry went for a touchdown. They were able to run the ball over San Francisco. And, honestly, this has Indianapolis being a resident here talking about Edgerrin James 2.0. Is Andrew Luck and Trent Richardson with the new Peyton and Edgerrin James? I mean, who knows? Definitely Trent Richardson has the skill set. He definitely has a similar style to Edgerrin. But, you know, if this – let me tell you something. First of all, I got to appreciate and take my hat to the Colts for their boldness, because if I knew that Trent Richardson was available on the trading block, my Pittsburgh Steelers – and we didn't actually make any kind of run to get him, which I don't think they would have traded him to us, division rivals and all, then I would be upset. So as a Cleveland Browns fan, they feel pretty good about it, especially after Sunday's result. As a Colts fan, they'd also feel good about it. But I think overall, the bigger picture of the AFC, and for years to come, I mean, you look at Andrew Luck and Trent Richardson, that could be a dynamic duo. Maybe Peyton and Edgerrin all over again. And that has Indianapolis very excited, and I think it's put the AFC on notice. But on the other side of the AFC, there are also two other 3-0 teams. The Miami Dolphins, ladies and gentlemen. South Beach's own football team, the Miami Dolphins, being 3-0 after their recent win Sunday over the Atlanta Falcons. And then there's the Kansas City Chiefs, who, as we all saw Thursday night, Andy Reid and his troops went into Philadelphia, smack the Chiquilla-led offense in the mouth with their dominant defense. Let me ask you guys, after watching, after seeing the Dolphins play this Sunday and beat Atlanta, and then after seeing what the Andy Reid-led Chiefs and that defense did to Philly, who are you more impressed by through three games this season, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Miami Dolphins? Train, start with you.
Well, you know, at first I probably would have said Chiefs until I actually got a chance to see them play. And, man, let me just say, Kansas City, if they face a good defense, they may be in trouble. Because when I say Alex Smith will hold on to the ball and he will play and will throw underneath all day long, that's what he will do. And in third and long situations, they did not look good. I mean, the Eagles really just gave away the third and long situations. They just gave them to them. I think they had like third and 15 and 12 and throw underneath pass and Donnie Avery run for the first down. I'm like, what are you guys doing? But he could, you know, they're not that much of a vertical team. But when I look at the Dolphins and I look at who they beat and the records of the people who they beat, I would have to say I'm more impressed with the Dolphins because you didn't see this coming from them at all. Everyone, I mean, you saw you had a possibility that the Kansas City would actually show up because Andy Reid's taking over. He did inherit some talent. He did inherit a good defense. He got some talent on offense with Jamaal Charles and Dwayne Bowe. You bring in Alex Smith, who's still a game manager. Sorry, that's going to be his title for life. So you expected the Chiefs to do something, maybe not 3-0, but to do something. But for the Miami Dolphins to be 3-0, no, didn't see that coming. And definitely, to me, that's definitely an upset victory over Atlanta. Even if they were missing Steven Jackson, they didn't have Steven Jackson last year, and they were still a prolific offense. And you know, maybe they did have a gimp Roddy White, but yeah, I feel like Atlanta still should have been able to get it done because you're a team that, as T put on the 49ers, you have a pedigree for winning in the regular season, no matter what your situation is. And, I would have to say Dolphins. More impressive than Dolphins.
Trey, I just want to say this before we move it here to T and get his perspective on the issue at hand. Now, yes, the Kansas City Chiefs offense looks pretty anemic, at least their passing game, because Jamaal Charles, by the way, on my fantasy team in our league, who just dropped 30 points. Thank you, Jamaal. Is a stud. But you look at Alex Smith and you see his limitations. They're pretty visible. This is a guy who apparently has trouble getting the ball to the outside to his extra receivers. This is a guy who's going to play conservative. But then again, I mean, with that defense, he really doesn't need to do a whole lot. And honestly, with the defenses in the AFC, I don't even think it matters if they played a super defense. I don't think it matters if they put a number one defense to the Seahawks. You know why? Because, let's be honest, the Kansas City Chiefs, that offense was a ball anyone. They got to those 3rd and 15s against Philadelphia. A defense has been terrible this season for a reason. They couldn't move the ball offensively without Smith throwing the ball against anyone. I don't think they didn't put any points against the Cowboys at, 17? They struggled with the passing game against the Jaguars. I mean, to me, the Chiefs, it really doesn't matter what kind of defense they play. They are who they are as far as the pass attack goes. That defense will win games, and that defense, to me, is quite special. T, you are actually familiar with the Kansas City Chiefs as they took down your Dallas Cowboys, so you actually saw them firsthand. What do you think? Who is more impressive to you, the Kansas City Chiefs or Miami Dolphins?
Well, I think the Dolphins are more impressive only, and I agree with Train, because we didn't see this coming. I think the Chiefs are right now, I'd say, I give them the edge as a better all-around team. But I expected the Chiefs to be tough with what they did in the offseason, the acquisitions they made, and bringing in Andy Reid, who, you know, whether I like him or not, is you know, he's a winning head coach. And I felt that with a new start and a new home for him with some talent, that he would show and 3-0. So I'm more surprised to see the Dolphins in that division be 3-0. And frankly, I think playing better football than the New England Patriots right now. But I'm going to say that I think that the Alex Smith game manager thing is a bit much. He is limited, and there are certain things that we see other quarterbacks do that Alex Smith right now maybe struggles to do. But I don't. The guy wins games, and he doesn't win games as a Tim Tebow wins games. He makes plays. I mean, I played against them, and some of the passes he made were right on point. They were great NFL passes. He is a starting NFL quarterback and make plays.
He did put the dagger in Philly's heart. Sorry to cut you off. I mean, to your point, against Philadelphia, when they were on their own side of the field at their own 10-yard line or 2-yard line, he had a really big third down in which he threaded the needle right down the middle of the field to convert, and they couldn't stop him on third downs at the end of the game. The Eagles could not, and he made some impressive throws. So when he needed to, he absolutely did make some plays.
I think he's progressed to be a little bit more than the game manager that he was labeled last year, and you know, one of the main reasons that he was benched for Kaepernick, which clearly was the right decision for the 49ers based on the outcome of the rest of the season. But he's a solid NFL quarterback. He's not ever going to be a Roethlisberger or a Brady or a Manning or any of these guys. I don't think. I just don't see that upside in him. But he's not going to be a Blaine Gabbert or, you know, he's a Christian Ponder either. You know, he's got some talent. He can throw. He gets out of the pocket. He's got decent presence. And I agree with Train. I think there were some plays he held the ball a little bit too long. And, you know, he'll learn the hard way not to keep doing that. I think he's a little bit better than that. But right now, I truly think that the Dolphins are the surprise of the undefeated teams. And with that said, and I know we'll get into our picks, their litmus test is coming this week. And for me, they got to beat the team. And again, the omniscient spoke when I told y'all that the Saints were going to be something to reckon with this year because Sean Payton was back and the 3-0.
Agree. Actually, let's transition to the 3-0 New Orleans Saints while we're on the topic of 3-0s. And absolutely, Sean Payton's return, a massive load off Drew Brees and you know, Darren Sproles, those guys' shoulders, having him back in that organization. But the hiring of Rob Ryan, T, also you are familiar with him. To me, when it first happened, I was like, whatever. You know, Rob Ryan, to me, an overrated coordinator at this point, being that he hasn't had previous success really anywhere as a defense coordinator, more his last name has kind of given him these opportunities. But so far through three games, that defense in New Orleans, defense in New Orleans is playing great. There's a huge reason why they're 3-0. I mean, they completely destroyed the Cardinals' pass attack. Larry Fitzgerald was limited. Carson Palmer couldn't get anything going. The week before, they held the Buccaneers' offense about 10 points. Again, not a great offense. But all year so far through three games, that defense has been what stood out to me. And my God, defense in New Orleans, again, crazy. Last year they were a historic worst, 32nd in the league, but gave up the most yards, apparently, in points in NFL history as a defense. To see such a quick turnaround defensively for them, to me, is astonishing. If they're playing defense in New Orleans, I mean, does it really matter what everyone else is doing in the NFC, including your Bears? Train, I mean, God, I mean, the New Orleans Saints, are they not looking quite scary to you?
Yeah, that's the reason why they ranked above my Bears in power rankings, because I know what they can do offensively. Definitely Sean Payton being back makes a difference. But I think in addition to him being back, the fact that Rob Brown was able to come in, which I didn't think he would be able to do, was able to come in and fix that defense and have them, I think they're third in the league for points allowed. They're in the top five. They're playing pretty well. And I think that the change in that defense makes a huge difference for them as far as being able to win games and being able to close games out, because if you keep it within striking distance, I mean, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, they can get the W. If it leans on the offense, they can get the W. So, I mean, they look good, period. They look good.
You know, I'm just amazed because from a personnel standpoint, they really haven't done a whole lot. I mean, I know it's three games, but
they're playing without Will Smith and without Jonathan Vilma.
Absolutely.
Okay, see, here we go, anointing. First of all, Rob Ryan had, there was no way that the defense could get any worse. Okay, I think Steve Spagnuolo traditionally is a great defensive coordinator. With the suspensions and a lot of problems that they had last year, I mean, there was really nowhere for them to go. And once it spiraled out of control, it just became a train wreck. So, of course, Rob Ryan, there was no chance that it was going to be as bad as last year. It was the worst in the history, okay? But I'm hesitant to give him too many kudos because I had him for 2 years in Dallas, and let's just see. But secondly, let's just remember, okay, I don't have it in front of me. I believe the Saints played the Falcons in the first week and then the Bucks and then the Cards. Okay, the Bucks and the Cards.
And Cards, yep.
All right, so – you know, I don't have them ahead of your Bears. I think what your Bears have done at 3-0 is more impressive than what the Saints have done at 3-0, frankly. I don't see the level of competition just yet. And, again, I predicted that the Saints would be a playoff team, and I'm not surprised that they're playing well. But I don't think they're more impressive than the Bears, and I'm not ready to, you know, give overwhelming credit to Rob Ryan just yet. Let's see what they do against another undefeated team. Let's give it a few more games. And see how they withstand some competition. We know they're going to have some more tough conference and division games. But I'd say hold on anointing Rob Ryan the next head coach in the NFL, because I had him for a couple of seasons. And the thing that really irritated me is we would have a great game like what the Saints just had and then follow it up with, and I'd wonder, okay, what happened? Where's the consistency? So I want to see if the Saints – now, the Cowboys didn't have the offense that the Saints have. So let's be clear. But let's see if they can. If he can show consistency with that defense, then I'll come back in a couple weeks and say, okay, yeah, he's doing something. But, yeah, you know, the Cardinals, yeah, I mean, yeah, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, you know, the Bucs, not looking very good this year. Josh Freeman,
Bucks
really?
Are terrible. The Buccaneers are terrible. I don't want to just – I mean, absolutely, that
Falcons
game is just me kind of whatever.
And even the Falcons are underachieving so far. I'm not saying they're out of it by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not playing like we saw them last year yet. So let's hang tight a little bit there on the Saints defense and what's going on. But like I said, I expect them to be in the playoffs. I do expect that.
Oh, yeah.
I give Sean more.
I'm only giving them credit simply because they're better. Their defense is better at this present moment. It's playing better than what I expected, even with the opponents that they played.
Yeah,
I truly thought that every game the Saints would play would still have to be a shootout this year.
No, I didn't, because I was not
a believer in Rob Ryan.
Yeah, no, I'm
not a believer either. I wasn't. I mean, still early, but God.
I'm sorry. I actually expected them to be better, but I'm waiting for the competition to stiffen, and then I want to see.
Well, you see the Bears in 2 weeks.
Well, like I said,
that'll be good.
I think your Bears are a better team right now, to be honest with you. I really do. I'm thoroughly impressed with your Bears. I think your Bears right now, second best in the NFC, right now. They're that good right now.
High praise for the Chicago Bears. Very deserving. Again, the reason why I'm hosting right now, not really, you know, whatever, what can you do? Now, I want to raise a question.
Well, remind everybody out there while you're hosting, and if anybody wants to call in, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. K-Star, why are you hosting?
I'm hosting because, I mean, my Steelers are bad, and the Trains Bears are really good. I mean, I don't really want to go into the details of it. Like, I don't want to go argue semantics with you guys. Like, I don't think that's really relevant.
You
don't
want to talk about how you lost the
Two weeks
ago, called out your team and said you guys will be 0-3, and he came and said, I will put it out there right now that your team will be 0-3. You will lose the next two games. And he was right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, the confidence in my voice, as you said, you depicted a couple weeks ago, I mean, I don't want to say too much without giving that up, but might have some truth there. Now, Sanford, I mean, listen, we'll keep it on the Saints real quick. Let's stay there. Let's get away from that horrible discussion of Bears Steelers. We're done with that. you know, the Saints being 3-0, the Bears being 3-0, the Seahawks being 3-0. Now, all three of these teams have pretty good home field advantage, the Seahawks and Saints particularly. But, I mean, guys, what do you think? Where is a scarier place to play? Where is the most important, or who really needs a home field advantage more? I mean, I know it's early, but scarier place to play, New Orleans or is it Seattle? Because both home fields are absolutely, in my opinion, crazy. Crazy hard to win at. Train, what do you think, man? Where do you rather go? Where do you rather see your Chicago Bears go in the playoffs? Would you rather see them go to New Orleans or would you rather go through Seattle? I mean, pick your
choice. Right, honestly, if I had a choice, I would rather go through New Orleans.
Ooh.
Seattle is stupid. I'm sorry. Their crowd is deafening. When they really do have a true 12th man, and they will beat you down until they are able to just take you over. That's literally what you saw with when they played against the 49ers. I mean, they didn't come out taking that game away. They slowly, being carved with a butter knife, slowly beat them down and then went away with it.
Well, that did happen. I mean, Train, for every team, what do you think? Where would you rather see Dallas go? I mean, if they had to go through one or the other, if it was up to you, where would you rather them go through? At Seattle? Would you rather them play there? Or would you rather go through the voodoo magic that happens in New Orleans?
I wholeheartedly agree with Train. Cowboys have gone into New Orleans and beat the Saints when they were, what were they?
They had a really nice record. Yeah, they had 11-1 or something like that.
Yeah, if we went into New Orleans and pulled the upset off. Went into Seattle last year and lost. We played competitive. It was early in the year, so no one knew the Saints were going to be as good as they were, but we still lost. And what I heard from the Cowboy players, because, you know, I got them all on speed dial, is I hate playing in that stadium. Because Trey hit it right on the head. They have the loudest stadium in the NFL. And it was a problem for the Cowboys when they had to go silent snap because they hadn't practiced it. And even if what they had practiced, it wasn't enough because they underestimated the loudness and the intensity of that crowd. It's just a horrible place to play if you're the opposing team. So I would much prefer to go to New Orleans and play in the Superdome. Than to go to Seattle. Absolutely. If Seattle gets home field advantage, good luck to any team.
I got to agree with you guys. Seattle and me are probably the most intimidating place to play.
The bad part about Chicago doesn't play in this season, so at some point I had to be rooting against Seattle. So when y'all played them this year, right? No.
No,
you don't. Okay, yeah, even T didn't play
them last year.
Yeah, I don't,
Well, luckily for you guys, I mean, going to Seattle, let me tell you something. If the Steelers had to go into Seattle this upcoming Sunday, I would watch, but I would have at least 10 beers in front of me. I would have four Long Islands. I mean, like I would already be heavily probably intoxicated before the game began because, honestly, it's just to play in Seattle, to face that crowd, that defense. That defense is on a whole other level at home in Seattle. It's a great defense regardless, but in Seattle, that defense was absolutely just monstrous. There's only a bunch of X-Men out there, these mutants on the football field, just taking people away, sacking the quarterback. They're insane over there in Seattle. So best of luck to you guys. Hopefully the Bears can out-seed. I'll play the Seahawks the rest of the season, so we don't have to go there and train to provide
hey,
you guys.
Hey, K-Star. Well, you have a girlfriend, right?
Sure do.
Mm-mm.
Does she listen to the show?
She watches me. She listens to me. I don't know if she's following, but she listens to me, yeah.
What's her name?
Amanda.
That's what I thought. All right. I'll talk to you offline about that name in my life. Go ahead. Keep talking.
All right.
Moment.
Shout out to Amanda.
We just had
quick.
A moment.
Had a moment.
This is a group hug. We just had a moment.
And I know my Amanda ain't listening, so she used to listen to me back in our day, but our day is long past, so she's not listening. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Just had to bring that up. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Now, listen, the Cowboys, they had their way with the St. Louis Rams this past Sunday. They had T absolutely happy. T, during this game, let me tell you something. This game was so bad that – and I'm sure T was just so happy to see the Cowboys come back from a loss the way they did against the Chiefs as they played super well against the Rams. Like, he probably would have hugged Amanda had she been there. His former Amanda, which apparently, you know, not necessarily having great memories about. Now, T, tell us about what the Cowboys did to the Rams. I mean, we all saw the box score. It was a blowout from seemingly the coin toss. Tell us what happened in that game and what are your thoughts with the Cowboys and how they played week three against the Rams.
Well, let me also just clarify for the record, in case she is listening, me and Amanda have some great memories. But anyway, I move on. listen, I had the Cowboys and the Rams in front of me, and I had the Giants and the Panthers on the TV to the left. The bar I go to, shout out to Slider Sports Bar in Plainville, Connecticut. ESPN voted them one of the top 50 sports bars in the country, and I'm actually going to host the Madden Voice from there one day. I haven't figured out when yet, but shout out to Sliders and shout out to the manager, Todd, who, thanks to my urging, has created a Cowboy section that I go to religiously and watch the games. So the big screen in the center is the Cowboy games, and then there's TVs around the side for all the dweebs. And so I actually had, I mean, literally, the only thing that really was missing was Amanda. All right, enough talking about her. But the only thing that really was missing was a honey dip on my side, because I had both TVs, and when you watch the Cowboys and then you watch how bad the Giants got whooped up, it was heaven for me. It was literally heaven. I was a very happy man. I was a very happy camper. But let me just say this. This is the most complete game I've seen the Cowboys play in 3 years. Offense, defense, special teams, they won from head to toe. They won from pillar to post. They played 60 minutes of complete football, and they kept the foot on the gas. And DeMarco Murray didn't play most of the fourth quarter. So, Lord knows.
So lucky for the Rams.
Yes. Lucky for the Rams, because in two games, he's got over 400 yards rushing against them in two career games and over 9 yards of carry. And to my
DeMarco Murray, 175 yards this past Sunday. God.
To my
really
sparring partner on Facebook, who was sparring with me on DeMarco Murray not being a good running back. You can have your opinion on whether he's a good running back or not, but you can't have it off of this game. Off of this game, I don't want to hear about the carries and the yards he could have had. And there were a couple of, you know, times he ran in his own player, and I was like, damn, DeMarco, and probably could have got more yards. But you know what? 175 yards is 175 yards in the NFL. Leave the man alone. Shoot, 31-7. The Cowboys look good. The defense looked good. Now, we just lost Anthony Spencer for the year. Guy had, I think he had 9 or 10 sacks last year. And, you know, he played 3-4 opposite of DeMarcus Ware last year. And, you know, it is a blow. But I got to tell you, that George Selvey, that I don't know where he came from, but he is not a defensive end opposite of DeMarcus Ware. This guy is aggressive, and he's busy. He's big and tall, like JPP. Well, like JPP used to be over in New York. That's who he makes you think of. And this guy is serious. So I think the Cowboys will be fine. DeMarco finally got his legs back underneath him. The offensive line just dominated. You know, secondary looked good. I like what I saw from the Cowboys. And I got to say that in the past, the Cowboys were able to put together a good game, then tank, and then a good game, then tank. I'm talking about three games, 2-1, and one game you lost was to a very good Chiefs team that you could have won, should have won, and you lost by a point. I think we're seeing that the Cowboys are finally understanding how to finish and showing some consistency. I will get into the other side of that conversation during my T-Bonics a little bit later.
All right. I mean, if DeMarco Murray could play the St. Louis Rams every week, every Sunday, that's running back in the league. Move over Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray against the Rams. Wow. Absolutely amazing how much yardage he's gained in two games against them. And, you know, the Rams aren't really known for having a bad defense. They had played some pretty good defense last year, but Jesus.
Jeff Fisher said, I didn't see this coming. So when the head coach says that, you know it was a pretty good game on the other team.
Absolutely. I mean, the Cowboys looked dominant from start to finish. I mean, again, the game was over before it even really started. It was a blowout from the jump. The Rams looked awful, just awful. And a lot of that, I'm sure, had to do with Dallas just playing great defense. I mean, again, you said it was the most complete game you've seen from them. So 2-1, I mean, you guys, I just want the Steelers to get one win at this point. I mean, if we can just steal one of your guys, it's five wins. I mean, my God. I mean, one. One point.
Now, still on that soapbox, huh? Time.
Yeah, no. I'll be on for a while. I can go on and on, I'm going to tell you. Train. Oh, Train. It's time. It is time for your favorite weekly segment, Train fans out there. Yeah, so drop some philosophy on you. Train, take it away. Dr. Train's philosophy after week three, what do you have for us in store for us this week?
Dude, I almost forgot my topic. Okay, yeah, because I was juggling between two. But anyway, this my topic for this week, which is always the favorite segment, the best segment of the show. It's it'll be short and simple, but this is straight from a fan's point of view. You know, we know injuries happen in the games, and you know, as a fan, true fan of the game, you can almost get over that. But when you see players get suspended for the other stuff, for the off-the-field issues, for the other things that have nothing to do with football, just truly from a fan point of view, you're just like, why? What? Is the $1 million you have not enough to keep you out of trouble? Can I give you a few more dollars to stay out of trouble because you're that talented and the team needs you that bad? And it's, to be honest, I mean, when the players do this, when it happens, man, it's a blow. It's a blow straight to the fans. Because you know how valuable, if you're truly a fan of the team, you know how valuable that player is to your team. You know what they bring to the game every single Sunday, and now that they've gone out and got arrested for a DUI or got arrested for whatever it may be, fighting in a bar, whatever it is, Goodell has laid the law. They're suspended 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 games, whatever they've done. I mean, that's a gap your team is missing. From a fan point of view, man, just two words, it sucks. It sucks. And I know NFL players, I know they're human, and I know they make their mistakes, but good grief. You have a symposium. You have other players around you that are doing positive things. Man, just keep it together and continue to play so the fans can see you on the field every Sunday. We pay for it. We pay for it through NFL Sunday Ticket. We buy regular tickets. We buy game. We buy game rewind. We buy all just to see you guys play. They're out of trouble. We can get over the injuries. But getting arrested, just you had one too many. It just doesn't. Yeah.
I'm sure all the Bronco fans and all the Niner fans right now are absolutely just fist pumping and. in total agreement with you, Trent, because, I mean, what's been going on lately? I mean, this is what we're facing. Not just Bronco fans, not just Niner fans. We had two of the most premier young stars, young pass rushers of the NFL, Von Miller and Alden Smith, they're gone. Von Miller, as we all know, suspended, and in addition to that, still for a reason, compiling traffic tickets, which whatever, but apparently tried to doctor his test when he was actually drug tested, tried to bribe the guy, which is why it went from 4 games to 6. And the Broncos, while they're 3-0, they definitely could use him. Who could not use a Von Miller? Young stuff. The NFL could use him. I mean, fantasy players who have the Broncos defense really could use him. But on the other side of that, Alden Smith, San Francisco, I mean, I just want to touch on this real quick. I mean, it is sad to see what's going on. I hope Alden gets help. But the fact that these athletes, and guys, especially these two of the highest pedigree players in the NFL on the defense side of the ball, getting in trouble, finding ways just to come in, bring headlines in a negative way. I don't understand it, because Alden Smith, I mean, damn, man, you couldn't, like, get a driver? You couldn't call one of your boys to pick you up? Like, you had to just get behind the wheel? I mean, it keeps happening in the NFL year after year. It seems to always be someone. And, I mean, it's just sad to see that it's come to the point where Alden Smith has to go into a rehab facility and have his locker cleared out after Sunday's game against the Colts. Like, not only are you hurting your teammates, you're hurting your fans, you're hurting your family, you're hurting the NFL, you're hurting a lot of people, and moreover, most importantly, you're hurting yourself. I mean, NFL,
and he'll be suspended once he turns.
Yeah. It's just, it's bad. I mean, I got to agree with you, Trent. It's very sad to see. It hurts a lot of different people, but more importantly, it hurts that player and his family the most, so I just don't understand why these things continue to happen.
Gentlemen, let me just bring some reality to this conversation. You're under the illusion that because someone is a professional athlete and a multimillionaire that they're not susceptible to the same temptations and mistakes as someone who's broke and has no money in the bank and works in a factory. They are people just like we are, and money doesn't make you smart, and money doesn't improve your decision-making skills or your judgment. It's as simple as that. So to hold them to a different standard because they have a high-paying job and have a visible job is incorrect to do, because at the end of the day, they're human beings like you and I, and they're going to make their decisions and their choices based on their upbringing, their background, their level of character and integrity. There's a reason why there's a difference between Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, right? There's a reason for that, okay? I believe they both came out of the same draft. Where the hell is Ryan Leaf at today? Okay, there's a reason that Ryan Leaf, who had all the talent in the world, went nowhere, and Peyton Manning's a Hall of Famer. There's a reason for that. We know the Manning family. They did a special on it tonight if you guys didn't catch it, because we're on the show. I hope you recorded it. There's a reason for that. You know, I've taught money management for 20 years. I've taught, and I got to tell you, if you don't believe me, go on and log in Powerball Winners and read some of the stories about people that have hit hundreds of millions of dollars and how it's destroyed their lives, because they didn't understand how to handle it. Because they got all this money, they're still the same people they were before. So the reality of it is, when you're at that level, there's a certain level of responsibility that you need to accept, and you need to go out and get trained and educated on what to do with it. And the ones that do it and embrace it, do well. The ones that do it and don't. Pac-Man Jones arrested again for disorderly conduct. Okay,
crazy.
I mean, how many times has this guy been in trouble with the law? And he wasn't even a driver; he was a passenger in the car, and he gets cited. Now, maybe it was a zealous, overzealous cop who saw Pac-Man, and we don't know. The point remains is, if I'm Pac-Man Jones with all the trouble I've gotten into, and whoever's driving gets pulled over, I'm shutting the fuck up. I'm not saying a word. My name is Bennett, and I'm not in it. What's your name, Bennett? Okay, so all I'm trying to say to you guys is that they don't learn this because they're making a lot of money or because they're a superstar athlete. Someone's got to teach them. I know the NFL does symposiums and things, but those things don't – you can't change someone's lifelong patterns with a couple of symposiums. This takes years to educate someone. You know, look at a T.O. and look at some of these athletes now that wish they could go back and redo some of the mistakes. They, now, T.O. was never in trouble with the law, but certainly has some, you know, conduct issues, right? These guys wish they could go back and make these changes. Now, well, you know, you should have listened then. So I'm not surprised these things happen. I commend Alden Smith, even though he may have had to get pushed to do it, but, hey, he's in rehab now. That's what needs to happen.
Yes.
Go That's what needs to happen. And too many times these guys get fined, they get a slap on the wrist, and they're back playing, and there's no long-term ramifications, no penalty, and, you know, the same thing continues and repeats itself over and over again because they're not learning a lesson because they're no different than you and I.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah,
buddy.
Yes,
got a co-sign
on the record. I didn't state that philosophy to say that I think that they are, that I hold them at a different standard because they're professional. My rant is simply that as a fan, you hate to see it happen because you know you want to see that player play. You know what they bring to the game. They're exciting to watch. And just in two words, it sucks. This is a pure fan.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. No, I definitely understand. They are only human, and they will make the same mistakes we make on the daily.
Agreed. Now, hold on here. It's almost time for a little something. So let me give you the proper introduction since I gave Train one for his segment. Oh, yeah. Might be a little hard. Be a little rough, but not bad. Not here. One of your favorite segments of the week. You might not like it more than Train. Train's family probably disagrees, but here we are. T, the floor is yours, buddy.
T Bonix from the Omniscient One. That's right, Omniscient of T here. Listen, mine is real easy. As Train's was simple, mine's simple. Guys, it's week three. Cowboys are 2-1, Bears are 3-0, Steelers are 0-3. We've had a lot of fun with K-Star. We know that he's in a really tough spot at 0-3. The Giants 0-3. We didn't really talk about that much, or the Redskins, two surprises, both 0-3. Any team 0-3, we know they're in a tough spot. And we, you know, technically the season's not over, but according to the recent playoff format that started in 1990, any team that started 0-3, only 2.6% actually make it to the playoffs. That's, I believe, if I have
my numbers correct. What was that
percentage again? 2.6%. And I believe it was three teams out of 115 that have actually started at 0-3 and made it to the playoffs. So the odds are against the Steelers, the Redskins, and the Giants. The odds are very much against them if you go on history. But I'm also here to say that the Redskins were 3-6 last year and won the division. I'm also here to say that I could not believe that I was watching First Take yesterday, and off the Cowboys' victory, putting them at 2-1, the Eagles at 1-2, and the Giants and the Skins at 0-3, they had the audacity, the temerity, the unmitigated gall to ask if the NFC East race over with. And I said, here we go again. 3 weeks into it, and we're determining who's going to win a division? Are you smoking something? Three games, not even 1/5 of the season, not even 20% of the season is complete yet. And in any sport, does this happen? Only in the NFL. Everybody wants to predict that it's Seattle and Denver in the Super Bowl already. Like the Bears aren't a contender. Like the Patriots couldn't upset anybody. Like the Chiefs aren't playing good ball. Like the Dolphins aren't surprising everybody. Like the Saints aren't looking like world beaters. Like, come on. We have to stop. I mean, ladies and gentlemen that are out there listening, you guys are fans like we are. And it's exciting when your team starts off well, and it's a little depressing when your team starts off poorly. But I'm here to say that my Cowboys have started 2-1 8 out of the previous 11 seasons and have only gotten to 3-1 once, one time. So slow down for a minute. Let's not start crowning division champions and picking who's going to go to Super Bowl and putting nails in people's coffins like the 49ers or the Falcons or, you know, the Ravens or any of the teams that might be struggling a bit. Let's slow down a little bit. We've got 16 games to play in 17 weeks, and we know how much
one injury. All you need is for Peyton Manning to get knocked out of the Broncos game and be done for the season, and I'm not wishing that on him or anybody else. And now it's a whole different ball game. Or Drew Brees. They're talking about the Packers, 1-2. I know Train is not sleeping on the Packers just because they're 1-2. I know that for a fact. He knows what those Packers are capable of. So why is it that we have to turn on First Take or any of these other Round the Horn, any of these other shows, and listen to this garbage? You know, I respect the NFL analysts out there. We want to do what they do on their level. But show me that you're better than us. Because you're not showing me that when you're already crowning division champions after three games. Here we go again. Slow down. Let's get past. Bill Parcells said it best. Let's get to Thanksgiving, and then we can see where we're at. That's when you can start seeing how things are shaping up. Not until you get to Thanksgiving. I agree with that completely. So everybody, slow down. Slow down, okay? Just slow down. I'm done.
Basically, ESPN, slow down, because this is basically ESPN generated. I feel like this is what ESPN does.
He did that.
And Bristol, your own home, T, they're actually
right up the street
to bring this up.
Barely 10 minutes from me. I go by there all the time. I'll take pictures and send it to you guys. I go there all the time. They're right there. Literally 8 minutes from my house, I can get to ESPN. I can be sitting in the worldwide leader in sports, and I should go there and just sit up there and just bitch at them because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I love ESPN. We all love ESPN. We all watch it. Why do you think, I mean, it was on here quicker this morning for, you know, First Take? We all enjoy it, but ESPN just, they have a tendency to stir the pot and try to generate more just hysteria when it comes and panic into football, and they try to project things. And I know they have to encourage these producers. These producers have to be largely responsible for it, because then some NFL analysts like Ron Jaworski, you know, who I believe was forced to create a segment about Colin Kaepernick having the potential to be the greatest quarterback of all time. I feel like so much of it is just forced. It's artificial. And let me tell you something. I watch the NFL Network, and they don't listen. They ask if maybe teams are possibly in trouble, or if it's time to panic. But they don't certainly pronounce, is the division, or has this division already been won? So, ESPN, we love you. But come on, take it down a notch. You don't need all that. We just love sports. Everyone has watched.
Well, the one thing is, you know, NFL Network has quite a few former players on it, so they understand it's a long season. Two, the only annoying thing, I don't care that ESPN predicts, it's rather entertaining. The only annoying thing is that when you're reading Facebook or when you're sitting in a bar and you're sitting next to the nut who actually believes everything that they're regurgitating from ESPN. Like, yeah, they just said it. Like, really? You actually believe that? Yeah, I guess you didn't watch football last season.
Oh, Train is so right. You're so right, Train.
Yeah, that's my thing. Know what you're talking about. I mean, you don't have to believe it just because they said it on TV. The only thing that's true is when they put it on the internet. Can't put it on the internet if
right?
It's not true. You know?
And ESPN. I mean, whatever. Good. T, I'm glad you said it, because there's just, it always happens. There's people who fall prey to it, who become zombies of ESPN, slaves to ESPN. We all are to an extent. But luckily, we have our own mind. That's why we have our own show. That's why we give you, I'm sorry, ESPN, we love you, much better analysis than what they may provide. We ask the right questions. We don't ask if the division already been won. That's ridiculous. Even me, a first-time host of the show, would have a question set and ready to ask you guys that, because that's just ridiculous. I'm not really here trying to, you know, sensationalize all these stories. I mean, they're stories. They materialize. But come on, ESPN. Like, just get together. Anyway, I digress.
And let me just say one thing before Facebook talks. ESPN, if you're listening, and I tend to believe that someone from ESPN does listen to the show, if you're listening and you love us that much, you know, we can make ourselves available to come on and do a show. So just let us know. But anyway, go ahead.
Coast on that one. All right, so let's focus on another 0-3 team, a team of which a lot of people have touted in the preseason as a team that could surprise, a team that could maybe sneak its way into playoffs. But right now, isn't complete anarchy. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, they have a young quarterback, Mr. Josh Freeman, who played pretty decent last year, but this season, this guy is really struggling, guys. I mean, this is a guy who's his completion percentage right now is 45.7%. He only has two touchdowns through three games. He has thrown three picks. He has a QBR of 26.8. Apparently, this is a guy who also oversleeps on team and team photo day. This is a guy who's actually been stripped of his captain privileges, which he actually had last season. This is a guy who completely is regressing before our very own eyes. Is it time to bench Josh Freeman? Or is it possibly more on Coach Chiano? What time is it? Is it time to bench Josh Freeman for Coach Chiano, or is it time for the Buccaneers management to look at Coach Chiano and realize, hey, man, we actually do have a quarterback. He's from his promise, and honestly, you need to fix something as far as what you call and your playbook and your schemes, because this is our guy. First-round pick. What do you think, T? What do you think about Josh Freeman? Is it time to bench, or do you think there's more to it than just the quarterback play?
I think there's more to it than the quarterback play. I think Chiano needs to go. I said it last year. I thought that while it was okay for them to fire off on the ball when the other team was going to kneel, I said it's poor sportsmanship, but I understand it because it's the NFL and you want to play 60 minutes. However, I said last year that it's that kind of crap that's going to come back and bite you in the butt, because if that's how you're going to try to win games, then you're going to end up losing because you need to come up with better schemes than that, okay? And here we are into this year, and the Bucs look like crap. And I think Josh Freeman is not as good as people thought, but I think he's better than what we've seen. And I think they need a offensive guru to go in there. Who is the guy you guys? Mike Martz. They need a Mike Martz like figure to go in there, a John Gruden-like figure who has a reputation of working with quarterbacks. He needs someone in there, Freeman, that can show him the way. And I think he can be a solid. I don't think he's a superstar. I think he could be a solid NFL quarterback. But I think the coach has got to go. Him, you can ship him out, and you can ship the guy from Detroit out, even though Detroit got but it's a matter of time before Schwartz goes to. It's a matter of time. Anyway, I'm sorry. I went off topic. I think it's the coach. I think it's the coach in the scheme.
Okay. Okay, what do you think? You think it's time to bench Freeman? Is he not the answer in Tampa Bay, or do you think it's more of a coaching thing?
Well, first I want to say I totally agree with T on Schwartz. The guy shouldn't be coaching anybody. He doesn't know what he's doing anyway. But as far as the topic itself, I haven't had a chance to really see Tampa Bay play. I thought Chiano brought a little grit to the team, so to speak, but doesn't look like it's working. And if he's – and for one, you know, Freeman is definitely becoming a victim of the revolving doors that young quarterbacks run into when they have a head coach that can't bring in the right coordinator. You know, he was under what was their previous coordinator? Raheem. He comes in under Raheem Moore. Then you know they switched Chiano to Chiano. So now that's a coaching change. That's an offensive change. When you're a young quarterback and you go through that, it makes it tougher to get any kind of progression in the league. So Freeman is definitely a victim of that. So some kind of change needs to happen. And like any other head coach, if you're a defensive head coach and you can't fix the offensive side of the ball, you will be out the door soon.
Yeah. I got to tell you, honestly, I don't think either of these guys will be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers opening week next season. I just don't see it. To me, I believe Josh Freeman is actually in a contract year. He hasn't shown enough to me, even previously before this season, to really warrant a payday for a quarterback to be the starting quarterback in Tampa Bay. Chiano, they basically created a mutiny in that locker room. There's a lot of internal conflict going on in that locker room that we probably don't even know about. There's been reports about, you know, there was issues that maybe the Chiano had manipulated the results of the captains when they voted for who the captain of the team should be. All kinds of different things there. So, honestly, I don't think, especially with them being 0-3 and looking ugly at that, either guy is really worthy of being there next season.
And honestly, I don't think it's time to bench Josh Freeman. I just think that it's time to honestly just let it play out. I mean, even from the organization standpoint, if I'm the owner of that team, I want to see what Josh Freeman can do. I don't care if he's struggling right now. I have to see it foolproof definitively that Josh Freeman is not our guy. I mean, he has been to Jackson, he has Doug Barton. He has weapons out there. I know he's struggling, but we're only three games in. I don't think it's necessarily time to bench him. I just think it's time to stay put and just see what you have and make some long-term decisions from that going to the future. Train? Hey, Train, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Green Bay Packers are 1-2. Much to your delight, I am sure. What's going on? Do you think that, you know, there's an issue with Green Bay? Do you think that they just lost to a good Cincinnati football team? I mean, they have five turnovers that the Green Bay Packers generated from that defense, which you would assume would be an automatic win for Green Bay. What is going on in Green Bay? Is there anything going on? Or should we just slow our roll and realize, hey,
There's not anything special or magical going on in Green Bay. Green Bay lost to a good Cincinnati football team. I watched that game. And I watched Green Bay force those turnovers and then go downfield and only get a field goal. Cincinnati defense held up, and it held up long enough to create its own turnovers, except for it turned its turnovers into a defensive touchdown that ended up winning the game for them. If in my opinion, Green Bay let that game slip away because they had them 30-14 or something to that point. Yeah, 30-14. They had them dead to rights, but they couldn't. Cincinnati defense slowly showed up, and I mean Green Bay started suffering some injuries. Matthews went out. They lost Starks. They were down to a young running back named Franklin, who ended up fumbling the ball later on in the game and it cost them the game. So they did suffer some injuries in that game that hurt them, but. You know, it's one of those games where a team like Cincinnati will take advantage of your mishaps. They'll take advantage of your mistakes. They'll take advantage of your young players, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
Green Bay will be fine.
Do you agree with Train's assessment here?
I agree with Train. Green Bay, yeah, that's why I said earlier, they're 1-2, but I know Train's keeping an eye on them. Aaron Rodgers is too doggone good, and They have too much talent on both sides of the ball. Now, I think the defense is at times a bit suspect, but overall, I think they're starting off slow. I think I'd be more worried about a team like the Redskins. There's a lot of turmoil on that team right now. The Giants look pathetic against Carolina. I'd be more worried about them. I'm not worried about Green Bay at this point. I think Green Bay is going to come on, and I think they're going to be a contender for that division.
Yeah, I'm not worried either. I got to agree with both of you guys here. I mean, Green Bay, to me, still an absolute playoff caliber football team. Still have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, although I thought it was interesting that Mike McCarthy, coach of the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Rodgers had some sideline discussions, a little bit of what looked like some arguments out there in which Aaron Rodgers really wouldn't even look at him. He kind of just avoided eye contact. Could be something, could be nothing. I really don't see too many games in which Green Bay's offense struggles whatsoever.
Let's take that conversation in perspective to exactly when it occurred. You do realize Green Bay had just forced a turnover. They go back downfield again. They're inside the five, and they can't get in the end zone. And on the last play, they end up allowing them to have to take a field goal. Aaron Rodgers keeps the ball and tries to run it in. And then the Cincinnati defense doesn't allow them to get in the end zone. Clearly, that conversation is nothing but frustration. That's it. If you want to read more net into it, yeah, you need to start reading books or something, because this is it's no more than that.
Probably should go into coloring. I agree. I mean, to me anyway, let's be honest, I don't really see Green Bay having a lot of issues offensively. That's not at all what their problem is. If anything, it was more of a fluke game on their part as far as how sloppy they were not converting those red zone opportunities, which they generally do. So I got to agree with you guys. So before we get to our power rankings, before we get to the games, picking the games, I do want to raise this question. I mean, my Steelers are 0-3, the Giants, an even uglier 0-3. Do you feel both Tom Coughlin and Mike Tomlin, Super Bowl-winning coaches, that either or their jobs are in trouble? And if so, who? is under more fire or scrutiny, Mike Tomlin or Tom Coughlin?
Tom Coughlin, hands down. Tom Coughlin. Ooh. I'm going to tell you why. Even though the Giants, he has two Super Bowls, he has too many non-playoff appearance years. And, you know, that's a problem in New York. When he makes it to the playoffs, it seems that he wins the Super Bowl. But then he'll go 3 or 4 years and not make the playoffs and then go back. And that's not going to work. That formula is not going to work. I think if you look at both teams, the Giants are far healthier. They're just playing like crap. I think there's some serious injury issues in Pittsburgh, and I think you have an offensive coordinator that will not be there by the end of the year. Frankly, I don't know that he'll be there halfway through the year. I think the pressure is mounting, and you could see him replaced before halfway through your season. I think there's reasons in Pittsburgh. So I think that even though Tomlin only has one, as a head coach, only has one Super Bowl, I just think your team has been much more consistent under Tomlin than the Giants have been under Coughlin. And for that reason, I think if they tank again this year, because remember, they didn't make the playoffs last year either. If they tank again this year, you know, they won the Super Bowl in 2011, and then they didn't make the playoffs 2010, 2008, 2009, 2008. They didn't make the playoffs. Then they won the Super Bowl in 2007. Well, I don't think that the Mara family is going to tolerate that. They don't step up and turn it around and make a serious move towards winning the division this year, Coughlin's gone.
Yeah, losing 38-0 at Carolina, which, by the way, I did say last week that 0-2 Carolina, more impressive and probably a better chance than 0-2 New York. That's neither here nor there. 0-2 New York went into a must-win game at the Carolina there, and they got absolutely 38-0. Don't get me wrong. My team is 0-3. Our records are the same as the New York Giants. But, I mean, we are a much prettier 0-3. We are. Let me tell you something. I mean, at least I could see a slight, although it's bleak, at least a little slight light at the end of the tunnel. If you're in New York right now, you just feel like you're in a torture chamber, and you just can't get out of it. I mean, God, 38-0. It's ridiculous. That alone, combined with the record and the inconsistent play of the New York Giants throughout the years under the Coughlin regime, is enough, in my opinion, to put him under more fire than Mike Tomlin, and deservedly so, because the inconsistency, the inconsistent play that comes up from New York almost, on an annual basis is ridiculous. I mean, two Super Bowl rings, he definitely is a very good coach, Tom Coughlin is, but eventually you got to ask yourself, is that team really getting the message? Are they getting the point? Because they have a lot of good football players that just aren't producing. So, to me, it's Tom Coughlin. It's kind of easy. What do you think, Trent?
I agree with you guys. It's Tom Coughlin. The only thing I will add is that when you consider the years that he did win the Super Bowl, when I say they barely made the playoffs, they're making the playoffs at 9-7 in both those years. They caught steam at the right time, no doubt. But, you know, if you're just comparing who's going to get the most heat, it's definitely the Giants, because teams are looking for more consistency at least. Got to be a lot more consistent than that, because you at least want to make the playoffs and give your team a chance.
Yeah.
And it's like they say, great, we're not going to go these next couple of years. We'll be back.
They don't take breaks. They hibernate. They're like bears, man. They take seasons off. They literally take seasons off sometimes, and they just hibernate. They sleep through it. Ugh. All right, guys, let's get to the power rankings. We saw a little bit of shift, a little bit of movement in the power rankings this week. I'm just going to announce them to you guys because, honestly, it's just time to get it going. And we're going to start with a team we talked about a little earlier when we talked about the Chiefs. But strangely enough, this isn't about the Chiefs. Number 5 team on the team in the overall power rankings is the Miami Dolphins. Number 4 is Train's Chicago Bears, which, I mean, hey, T thought they might have been the second best team in the NFL right now. A little bit of disagreement from my end, and surprisingly from Train's end, as they finish number 4. Number 3, the New Orleans Saints, playing defense in New Orleans, apparently. Number 2, the Seattle Seahawks. We cannot state enough how great they've been through 3 games this season. And number 1, which I think might be for the 3rd straight week, the Denver Broncos, and Peyton Manning, who has 12 touchdowns through three games, on an absolute tear, on a pace to shatter the passing records for one season. Guys, what are your thoughts on the power rankings? Obviously, this is the average of all of what we did here. I mean, we all put our hats in there and put our teams in the hat and went through there. But, I mean, the Dolphins, number five, could we have done a little better job with the Chiefs in there? I mean, was it really an easy decision for the Dolphins for you guys, number five?
I struggled between the Dolphins and the Patriots, frankly. And I just thought that the Dolphins' quality of wins were higher than the Patriots at this point. And so that's why I went with the Dolphins. The Chiefs are, it's just tough because we're only doing five teams. And so, clearly you have to put the Broncos and you have to do the Seahawks as one and two. And some people may have the Seahawks one, but I don't believe a team. Once we have number one, to me, they stay number one until they lose. So Broncos and Seahawks, that's easy. Then you look at the Bears, and they've had some very impressive wins. And then you look at the Saints. And so, okay, so to me, those four teams are pretty much locked, okay? So now who do you have? I mean, so now you're on the 15. Now you've got the Chiefs undefeated. You've got the Dolphins. You've got the Patriots. And so, the Chiefs, maybe it was a little bit of bitterness for me because they beat my Cowboys. I don't know. But I just felt that the Dolphins right now on both sides of the ball are playing better than the Chiefs and the Patriots right now. So that's where I went with it.
No, I just did a little quick reassessment. I looked at the maybe the quality of win and actually their opponents' records. And, I mean, looking at their opponents' records, I was definitely more impressed with the Chiefs versus, who the Patriots have played and who Kansas City have played. But I always stay reserved on my Bears. I mean, I never try to push them too high. I mean, I know my team back and forth, and I'm still waiting. We beat the Saints, I'll be glad we put them up above the Saints, but until then, hey, four is not a bad spot. Three or four is, it's tit for tat.
We'll find out. Four. Agreed. The Bears, number four, first of all, the Dolphins, number five, we all have them there. For me, the Dolphins win over Atlanta was very impressive, more impressive than me than Kansas City going into Philadelphia, simply because I think that Atlanta is a much better team than Philadelphia, even with the injuries that Atlanta is going through right now. Plus, their defense in Miami is also looking really impressive. I know we talked a lot about Kansas City, but Miami's defense has also been pretty good. Brent Grimes, the free agent cornerback they picked up actually from the Atlanta Falcons, has really been a big addition to them. And Cameron Wake off the edge is complete havoc to deal with as an offensive tackle. The Bears, number four, I agree with this. I mean, the Bears, I really don't want to talk about them too much because of what just happened, but I saw firsthand that defense is still what it was from last year and years prior, except now it has some offense. And for whatever reason, to me, it's Trestman and what he's doing with Cutler, but that Cutler seemingly is a lot better of a player than we've seen him previously. The Saints, the Broncos, Seahawks, Saints, last 3 weeks they've been kind of where they are. Not really much to say other than I'm really intrigued to see someone. I actually just want to see someone give Denver a game. We saw Seattle at least get a competitive game, a very close game with the Carolina Panthers. And we saw the Saints almost lose to that same team we were blasting earlier, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but no one has challenged Denver Broncos. I wonder who can. Clearly some teams will this season. It is early. Maybe we'll be the Kansas City Chiefs division rival. Who could do that? I don't know.
We have Denver in Dallas, just so you know.
Wait. Last week, weren't you fretting over this game? Weren't you kind of worried about this game? And now
I'm still worried about it. I'm still worried. I ain't an idiot. I'm still worried about it. The Broncos are
an idiot.
I'm just saying I like our chances of being competitive at home. Versus going to Denver to play. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just making sure, man, because last week you were looking forward to it, and now I'm talking about teams that hopefully can, you know, make it competitive with the Broncos and the Neely. Your chest was looking really big, and you're puffing it up and everything. I just wanted to make sure.
What's that? The word to your sentence was competitive. You didn't say, okay, I'm looking to see some Denver. Then I would have shut up. You said competitive. Well, based on I think that we can play competitive at home against Denver. I think our defense thus far will be the best defense Denver has seen thus far. So we'll see. I mean, let's wait till our game comes up, and then we'll see how I feel. But right now, you know, at home, I give the Cowboys a slugger's chance. That's all.
No, just making sure. Just making sure. Gentlemen, it's time for our picks of the week. Train, do you by chance, or even T, do you guys have the tally so far up this year for what we're standing in our own personal TNV stand? Can you read that for me, Train? I do not have it made available for me. That was not part of my prep work. I expected you to fly that in.
We all badly, horribly sucked last week at picking because none of us expect the unexpected. Last week's tally was T went 1-5. Both me and K-Star went 2-4. Overall tally, T and I are tied at 11-9, and K-Star, you are right behind at 10-10. When I say we sucked we sucked last week.
That's bad. If we can actually, if there's a way to edit that, I gotta find as a host all the live listeners right now. I'm sorry. I should have heard that depressing statistic. Last week was kind of a crazy week anyway. Let's be honest. I mean, Indianapolis going to San Francisco. I mean, Green Bay. I mean, not quite as crazy losing in Cincinnati or anything, but I think most anticipate Green Bay to go in there and Cincinnati not really able to match them point for point. But whatever. It's a new week. It's week 4. And let's start with the Seattle Seahawks traveling to Houston Texans, who are just coming off a loss, a painful loss, a blowout loss against the Ravens. I believe a couple of us got that game wrong, as it turns out. Train, Seahawks-Texans, who do you like and why?
I'm going to ride the Seahawks until I see somebody beat them. I just favor defense. It's not so much as jumping on the bad one. I really like good D, and from what I saw, them boys can play defense, and the test, I mean, they should get a test from the Texans. They should get some kind of test from the Texans. I mean, they have Andre, I believe Andre Johnson is healthy. He may or may not play. You have him, DeAndre Hopkins. They're definitely going to be all over Foster. So, I mean, the Texans themselves, they have a defense. And I mean, they've had close games so far, and then they got ran over by by the Ravens. So let us know the Ravens are still here to play ball, but I'm going to have to go with Seattle. I like their defense. They punish you.
Keith, what do you think?
I hate this game because up until watching the Ravens whoop up on the Texans, I actually thought the Texans might win this game. But they didn't show me anything against Baltimore. And it's a trap game. This is one of those games that Seattle should win, and somehow or another I think Houston's going to pull it out. But I don't feel confident, so I'm going to go ahead and stick with the conventional pick and go ahead with Seattle.
Yeah, let me also keep it vanilla. I like against Houston. I mean, Houston coming off a tough loss at Baltimore didn't even look too impressive winning their first two games in hindsight, now that we've seen week 3 come into fruition. Seattle just looking too much of a well-oiled machine right now. I got to go with Seattle. However, this next game, we might have some disagreement on, gentlemen. The Chicago Bears going into Detroit and playing the Reggie Bush-led Lions, who's expected to return for this game at Ford Field. Actually, last week I told you, Frank, that I felt the Lions may be better than the Bears. Maybe it was a couple of weeks ago. But let me ask you, are the Chicago Bears going to Detroit and play the Dominican Sioux, Nick Fairley, Calvin Johnson, all them boys, and come out with a win?
Yes. Did you need anything other than a yes?
I mean,
what do you want me to tell you, dude?
Honestly,
we are
a
better team than
Detroit
is right now. It's gonna be a tough game. I don't ever just put my team up on a pedestal, but we are definitely a better team overall than Detroit is right now. Ford Field is a tough place to play, but Chicago has won there several times. And outside of that D line, which our offensive line is much better than it was last year, Detroit's defense is suspect. And offensively, they just lost Nate Berryson. Broke his arm trying to pick up pizza while driving. If the pizza fell on the floor, just keep driving. You can pick it up later. You can clean your car later. It's just don't go to pick up the pizza while you're driving. It's just the two don't go together. Okay? So he's out. Ryan Broyles, you know, he's injury prone. They don't have it. Actually, they're seeking trade for a wide receiver. It just flashed across the screen several times while I'm sitting here in front of NFL Network. So that means the only person they have to throw to is Calvin Johnson.
Are they looking for a wide receiver? I mean,
yes.
Bring back Chad Johnson.
If you are covering Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford will hold that ball all day long. Bush comes back, that's a help, but I still don't think it's enough to go up against Chicago's defense. And mind you, we have an offense this year. I don't know if you've seen it. It scored 40 points. I mean, two of them defensive, though. But it's
did
that's
you
a lot of points.
That's where it stops. Yeah, we constantly ask if I have seen it. Like, Trent,
27
really offensive. I don't want to hear it.
A lot of points.
Yeah,
40.
Right. Who are you?
40 burger.
Who are you playing?
Like ketchup,
you playing?
Mustard on that 40
that's
burger?
That's
anything?
Playing.
Want a beer with
I don't
want
to talk about it. See, all right, Trent. Hey, who do you like in this game, Bears or Lions? I have more faith that the Texans will beat the Seahawks than I do that the Lions will beat the Bears. So I'm going to, once again, it's a similar type game to me. However, this is a division game. And I just, you know, it's funny because when you look at these teams like a Seattle or a Chicago, you want to think that they're gonna not that you know they've been riding high undefeated and now it's time for them to tank, and that's how I feel like it's time now somebody's gonna tank, but I just think Chicago is the better team. And I don't like Detroit. I've never liked Detroit. I was the one that told y'all a couple of years ago that Detroit wouldn't make the playoffs. Well, they made it by one game, and then they went nowhere. And the next year, they didn't even make the playoffs. So they're overrated. They've been overrated. They've got great individual talent at different positions, but they're overrated, and they need a coach. They get a coach in there with the team they have, my whole position on them would change. As long as Schwartz is their coach, I got no
Jimmy Schwartz back.
I'm going to. Schwartz, whatever the hell his name is. See, I said it right, Schwartz.
No, I'm saying
yeah.
The Jim Schwartz factor, the reason why you're picking against Detroit.
That's the reason. That's the reason, is Schwartz.
I'm not saying it's a bad reason. I just think it's...
Yeah. I'm going with the Bears. Still the Bears.
The Bears.
I'm going with Detroit. I said a couple weeks ago, I think that Detroit... I mean, I feel a little less confident about it now after seeing what I saw previously on Sunday. But I think Detroit...
Wait a minute. Did the Bears play the Steelers this weekend? Is that what happened? Anyway, go
ahead. No, I'm just hosting because I love the host. I'm just a great host. So I just wanted
what
to host
we did
one
with
I
the Steelers. You are
to do this.
Still going against conventional wisdom. That is strange.
The Detroit Lions are going to win this football game. You know why? Because, listen, the offensive line of the Bears may be much improved. In the face, those guards have not been tested like they're about to be. The rookie Long there against Sue and Fairley, that's really going to be the test, I think, for them, especially in Detroit, the crowd noise, a little obnoxious. I feel like it's going to be a great game. First of all, at the NFC North game right here, division rivals, 2-1 Detroit, not slouching really at all either. The Reggie Bush factor, which was well documented, we talked about going into the season, and after week one, we saw the Reggie Bush explosion. I like Detroit to pull off the upset here. And, you know, I already know Trent's already modest over there, but I just want him to come on this show and not be as happy. So, Detroit, please make this happen because, unfortunately, my team did not. Next, we have the surprising, flying high, Geno Smith-led New York football Jets. Because, this, let's be honest, the New York football Giants, not the team in New York right now. That's how bad they are, 0-3. Yeah, even the Jets right now better than them. The New York football Jets, stealing the nickname from New York, against the 2-1 Tennessee Titans, who played some pretty good defense. T, what do you think? Jets-Titans, not exactly a sexy game, but an intriguing one considering the early surprise that the New York Jets have kind of bestowed upon us.
Well, let me say that the omniscient one said that Geno Smith should be the starting quarterback. Let him work through some of his pre-woes, and that he will be productive as the Jets' starting quarterback. Now, he got the job by default because of the injury to Matt Sanchez, but we are now seeing exactly what I predicted, which is he's maturing into a solid quarterback. He's not good, he's not great, but he's getting some things done, he's making some plays, and the team's 2-1 under his leadership. That said, them Titans are coming to play some ball too, though. I'm a bit surprised at how well the Titans are playing, and I don't like Rex Ryan as a head coach, to be frank. I think he's, to quote my good friend Stephen A. Smith, I think he's an accident waiting to happen. I think that the team will do well in spite of him because he's a great defensive mind, and he definitely put a good defense on there. And I think Geno's playing decent. The running game is still a bit suspect, although it's starting to come into its own. We saw Santonio Holmes, an old Pittsburgh Steeler, make some plays. So, you know, we're starting to see some things from that offense. But Tennessee is looking really solid right now, surprisingly, and they're home. So I'm going to go ahead with them Titans right now. I'm going to go with them Titans.
Trent.
I'm just going to ditto everything T said. I'm going to take the Titans at home.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm going the other way. I mean, listen, the strength of the Tennessee Titans offensively for them is the run game. Chris Johnson doing a pretty mediocre job, not really scoring a lot of touchdowns for fantasy owners to the chagrin of them, but putting some solid
tackles. Tell me about it.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell me about it.
There's one for you. There's one for you. And, T, I got to be honest, you're probably going to be pretty pissed off in this upcoming Sunday because the New York Jets played some really good defense, especially rush defense. That defensive line's very tough to run against. And to me, I'm already more impressed with Geno Smith than through three games than I've been through Jake Locker's whole career, his young career from what we've seen. I really like Geno Smith better as a player because Jake Locker really hasn't shown me much at all. So I'm going to go with the New York Jets upsetting the Tennessee Titans. I think they pull it out. And honestly, a low-scoring, ugly game because, let's be honest, these two teams aren't flashy for a reason because they make it ugly. Both teams do. So I like the Jets to win this game.
T, do you feel what I'm feeling? The Titans beat up on this team at the beginning of the season and smashed Ben Roethlisberger's face into the dirt 6 times. The Bears go into their home, feed them a 40 burger with extra pickles, mustard, lettuce, tomato, and whatever else he like on it. And he picks against both those teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, God.
Patriots, Falcons. Going into it, we're going to skip over that. I like being the host. New England Patriots going into Atlanta to play the Hotlanta. Are they still? Falcons, the 1-2 Atlanta Falcons team in this game, the 3-0 Patriots going in there. T, let's start with you because you didn't bring up that, you know, 40 burger comment. What do you think is going to go into this game? Do you think the Patriots are going to compete and force 4-4-0, or do you think the Falcons kind of get together and tie up the record of 2-2 and be .500 this season so far?
I think the Falcons are going to get it together. I think the Patriots really are not playing in Patriot football. They've got injuries. There are some concerns over there in New England. But, you know, when you have Belichick and Brady, you know, Belichick, the defensive genius he is, Brady, who just seems to always figure out a way to get points, Edelman's stepping up and filling a role as the number one receiver now. You know, I think that this is going to be a very good game. But I think this is,
you know, I don't want to go against what I said earlier about, you know, here we go again and making season, you know, predictions. But, you know, the Falcons are 1-2 right now, and they don't want to go to 1-3 with the Saints possibly looking at 4-0. Saints, I'll talk about that game in a minute, but the Saints are already 3-0. And so the Falcons, this is urgency now. You don't want to fall three games behind already in that division. So they're home. If this was in New England, I'd say go ahead with New England. But in Atlanta, I haven't been to a professional football game in their stadium, but I have some family down there, and it doesn't get the attention that the Superdome or Seattle gets, but it's a tough place to play too. So I think that this is a game where, well, let me put it to this way. I'm picking Atlanta, and Atlanta needs to get it together, because if they don't, to go to 1-3 is ugly, and you're in some trouble at 1-3. So I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Train, what do you think? Falcons, do they hold strong at home, or do they go and lose to who would be the 4-0 New England Patriots? What do you think, man?
I think at the end of this season, me and T are going to be tied for games of the week picks. That's what I think. I'm going to go with Atlanta for the same reasons that T said. They need this win. They're at home. They play good at home. The Patriots have been winning, but we've seen who they played. They've beaten teams who we felt like they should have beaten by more than what they have, but they have had their problems. I think Atlanta can take advantage of what the Patriots are missing. I'm not sure if Gronkowski is supposed to be back, and I'm not sure if Steven Jackson is coming back, but I think Atlanta can win with a healthy team. I can tell you now,
Steven Jackson is out.
Steven Jackson is out? I still think they can win without Steven Jackson. They did it last year. Do it this year. Roddy White should be healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the same Atlanta team from last year, at least offensively. But they're at home. They need this win. You don't want to fall far from the Saints because, like T said, they're looking at 4-0, hosting those Dolphins.
I'm going New England. And I like this. I'm glad I'm picking different picks from you. That was a chance for me to catch up. But moreover, let me be the voice of reason. New England Patriots going to win this game. Rob Gronkowski, potential return here. But for me, I saw a lot of improvement from week two to week three last week with what they did to the Buccaneers, who, granted, aren't very good. But the offense of New England put up some points, and Tampa's defense, if anything else, that's the one good part of the Tampa Bay football team is that defense with Reeves and Golson, those boys out there. Look, I've seen more improvement from New England from week to week, albeit it kind of being small offensively. And their defense is, while their offense has been struggling, guess what? That defense quietly has been making plays, helping them get to a 3-0 record. And for me, with the injuries that Atlanta does have, while Roddy White is actually playing, he really isn't balling like we all know Roddy White to be. He's not really – he's playing on that hurt ankle. He's not really the guy that he was last year at this point because of the ankle. And Tony Gonzalez has had quite a small or slow, quiet start in Atlanta. Is he too old? I don't know, but I do expect New England to go 4-0 and leave the Falcons scratching their heads at 1-3, which is just shocking to actually expect the Falcons to be 1-3. But you guys keep bringing up the point that, you know, Atlanta's going to fall to 1-3. Well, guess what? The Dolphins are 3-0. The Patriots might need to keep pace with them because they might turn out to be pretty good. So equal motivation there. I like New England to win this game. Next up, we have Dolphins 3-0 versus Saints 3-0. Someone's going to lose this game. Someone's going to go 4-0. I'm going to start this one. I like New Orleans to win. I like it to be a reality check for, you know, Miami. You know, Miami is, again, a nice little story. They've gone 3-0, played very good defense. But now they're going into a tough place to play, which we talked about and discussed earlier, at New Orleans. And Ryan Tannehill has been playing pretty good ball, but he is not up to the task that is Drew Brees level of ball. So I got to go with New Orleans Saints at home. T, give it to me. Who do you like, New Orleans, Miami?
Yeah, and then after this, give it back to me because I want to comment on something else before we leave. I'm going with the Saints at home just for the reasons we stated earlier. New Orleans is a tough place to play.
I don't quite believe that Miami is quite as good as everyone says they are, although they have played well in their first three games. I think now they're going to come up against a well-coached, disciplined team, and I think we're going to see the difference now. In my opinion, I think we're going to see the difference between a team that's on their way and a team that's been there, and I think that's going to be the difference. So I'm going with the Saints, and I'm going with the Saints by at least 10 points. That's right, I said it. 10 points.
Got to agree there. All you gambling addicts out there, take that advice and put your bets in. I also like, again, them by over 10 myself because it's going to be kind of rough in there in New Orleans. Train, what do you think? Are you going to sweep it, make it 3-0, all of us like in New Orleans? Or do you think Miami, a little bit better than even we think, the number 5 in our power rankings after all?
Well, they're number 5 this week. They won't be number 5 next week. This is where you separate the men from the boys, gentlemen. Saints.
All right. Last but not least, we have the game of the week. Unfortunately, this isn't the good kind of week. This is the WEAK, and it involves my Pittsburgh Steelers. We're going to London. We are going to London to show Europe and to show the UK our brand of football, which hopefully will be better than winless. And we are also from America are shipping off the Minnesota Vikings, also 0-3, going into London to play their brand of Christian Ponder football, which isn't good. I want to take this. And listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win this football game. I'm pissed. I got really upset. This I've had a great time hosting the show. It's been wonderful. It's been tremendous. But I don't like doing it upon these terms. Maybe I'll just do it on my own next time because to lose a bet, to see my Steelers get a 40-burger, I don't want to talk about it. Let me just get back to the game. Le'Veon Bell is coming back. That is huge. He, Train, pointed out earlier that Le'Veon Bell was a big fixture for our plans to open the season with. He's been out. The second-round draft pick from Michigan State, who drew rave reviews since training camp from guys like Peter King and all over, had a solid preseason. Big weapon for us. We finally have some kind of semblance or hope of a run game. Heath Miller getting acclimated for us as well upon his return from last week, looking to build off that. And honestly, Big Ben versus Christian Ponder. I mean, Todd Haley, you can't be – listen, Todd Haley isn't bad. I mean, he's bad. Don't get me wrong, he's terrible. But there's a difference between Todd Haley bad and Christian Ponder bad. Both are levels in which are unbearable and hard to watch and fathom. But Todd Haley bad isn't as bad as Christian Ponder. Big Ben is still there. Christian Ponder, he has AP, but no, London – Big Ben is back in London. Let's go, Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get this one win. Let's start something special, please. A win would be special. Yes, that's correct. One win would be special for me. Train, who do you like?
I like the Steelers. The Vikings are in my division. The more they lose, the more I smile. But no, really, I do like the Steelers in this game. Le'Veon Bell is back, and I saw the way Big Ben played, even with under the pressure of being under Chicago's defense. He still has it, so Steelers.
Hey. It's unanimous. Bell's definitely going to play. NFL Network just announced it to Tomlin, said Bell will play. By the way, Cameron Wake will not play against the Saints.
Ooh,
so even more of a reason to go ahead with them Saints, because we all know Wake. Wake to me is the second coming of DeMarcus Ware. That guy's nasty, that's a huge loss for their defense. But anyway, I mean, number one, Bell's back, and you need a game, and we don't know how effective he's going to be, but we got to assume he's going to be better than what you've had. Big Ben is the truth. Tomlin's a great coach. Your defense has kept you guys competitive up to a point. The Bears kind of got away from you guys, but, your defense is capable of making some plays. Minnesota's not very good. Ponder is not very good. They still got Peterson, and that's certainly something to consider. But how that team let Percy Harvin go is beyond me. But that said, you guys should win this game. I don't want to say if you lose, you got to host next week. But good Lord, if you guys lose this game, I don't know if there's much hope for your team this year. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and one more time. I'm going to pick them Steelers to go ahead and win this game.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We need all the vote of confidence from at this point. internally it isn't good enough in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. We need other people to believe in us because we need a pick-me-up at this point. Hopefully Le'Veon Bell can provide that. I anticipate he will. T, you said that you wanted something, or you had something that you wanted to cover before we go off the air. How about it?
Thank you, K-Star. NFL.com power rankings. I just have to say that, you know, here we are, and I've said this a number of times, I'm going to say it again. Dr. Train, K-Star, Commissioner T, the omniscient one, we are football fans, football purists, love our teams, love the sport, watch the game closely, and we all bring a different flavor but a nice combination to the game. But at no time would we say that we have the same level of knowledge as some of the people we see on TV, some of the people that have played the game, coached the game. We already know these guys know much more about the game than us. And I'm not trying to compare knowledge. But at some point, common sense has to play into this, too. And when I look at the power rankings, I'm okay. You got the Seahawks number one and the Broncos number two. I'm okay with that. I have the Broncos number one, but yeah, that's fine. You've got the Patriots number three. I'm okay with that. I think that's a little high for them, but that's fine. You've got the Saints number four. I'm okay with that. You've got the Bears number five. All five of those teams are defeated, and we can argue about who should be one and two. But, you know, okay, we're okay. We're okay. Now we go to your next five, okay? You've got the Bengals at six. I don't know. Maybe a little high for me, but okay. Dolphins at 3-0 at seven. I can live with that. Chiefs 8-0, 3-0 at number eight. I can live with that. Colts 2-1 at 9. Maybe a little high, but I can live with that too. Number 10, ahead of the 2-1 Ravens and the 2-1 Cowboys, are the 1-2 Packers at number 10. Okay, at this point, common sense should roll in and say, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Okay, this is a team who was throttled by the 49ers, okay, and then blew a lead against the Bengals, 16-point lead that they blew. And you have them ahead of the Ravens and ahead of the Cowboys. I don't see it. You're 1-2. Sorry, guys, I don't see it. I got a problem with that. I got a big issue with that. Okay. I'm done.
All right, I had to get that
out. Here you go, T-Bonnet, part two.
Yeah, a little doubleheader special. T, you know, the thing is, T having more time to think about, to really gather his thoughts, and to release those thoughts out in the airwaves now that he is not the host tonight. So let me tell you something, making dreams reality, K-Star is the host tonight, having T, you know, two T-Bonks in one night, it's got to be a record. It's doing pretty well over here from my end. Before we sign off, Train, what do you have to say, man? Do you have any final thoughts? Just any last comments you want to make and put out there before week four kicks off?
It's going to be another exciting week of football, man. Always ecstatic. I just want to thank my Bears for putting me in a position to host the show. But having you eat a 40 burger. Hope you enjoyed it, man.
Did not enjoy the 40 burger, gotta say, was not a fan of it. Although I have had a tremendous time being a host tonight. It's been a lot of fun, definitely an experience of circumstances that swirled around it, you know, coming into fruition, not quite as great. Train, I want to thank you guys for acknowledging witnesses live and to witness the greatness that is K-Star, who is probably now everyone else's favorite host. T, I don't want to take your job because I got to be honest, I think you're better at it than I am, but I mean, you might have some tweets come your way that, you know, maybe people want to see K-Star as a host more often. I don't know.
Well, let me say this. First of all, let me say this. K-Star, you did a tremendous job tonight, and I want to thank you myself, not only because you stuck to your word and you hosted the show, but clearly you were prepared
and you know, you didn't, you took it seriously, and it wouldn't bother me in the least bit if I get some, you know, if the K-Star-aholics out there start screaming your name, chanting your name, hollering your name, and saying, bring him back, hey, I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I think you know, we should definitely plan to have K-Star host the show again. I think you did a tremendous job, and I want to thank you. But on the note of hosting the show, I want to take it in another direction. I want to turn to Dr. Train and say, you know, I enjoyed my week off, and K-Star did such a great job, and, you know, you haven't hosted in a while. So, Dr. Train, I want to turn to you now and say, what can we do to get Dr. Train back to host next week's show? Can we follow up K-Star, not with bringing Commissioner T back, the omniscient one? Everybody knows who I am, and they know what I bring. But can we bring back Dr. Train next Tuesday night to bring his flavor? Because it's been a while. It's been a minute. Can we bring you back next Tuesday night and have you host the show?
It's in all honesty, due to the current work situation, I cannot make that promise. That's in all honesty. Else I would not have a problem with it. I would have to let you know, man.
All right, let us know. I'm gonna be bugging you. I want the train philosophers out there to holler at us and say we want Dr. Train to host next Tuesday. We got to move the show from 4 o'clock his time to 5 o'clock his time. We'll accommodate you. We'll work with you. But I'd like to see Dr. Train come and follow up K-Star's great performance with another great Dr. Train performance. I think our fans want to see diversity, and don't mind seeing us change it up every once in a while. So think about it. Get back to us and let us know.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have something to possibly look forward to. If not, he will be resuming the hosting duties, which, as we all know, he is fantastic at. But for Train, I actually have to meet you guys, and it feels great to do so. But I just want to make one thing clear. Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin, please hear my cry. Fix this man. Listen, I love you. I really do. I would give you a bear hug even now. Even now, in the predicament my Pittsburgh Steelers are in, 0-3, I still would, because I believe in you. We have way too much talent to be held back by an offensive coordinator. Now, I don't want to put it all on him, but this is the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've got to identify the problem, isolate it, and correct it. Because, as you know, Mike, the fire in Pittsburgh, it can brew pretty hot, man. I mean, missing the playoffs for us is unacceptable. The 0-3, it's unfathomable. It feels dirty. I feel disgusting. And I'm having jokes about 40 burgers being dropped on my chest. I don't like it. Okay? I can't live my life like this, all right? Maybe I'm spoiled, but I can't keep doing this, all right? So let's go to London. Let's get this win. Pittsburgh Steelers Nation, we will get it. Hopefully we'll have some hope. Le'Veon, I'm expecting big things from K-Star. I had a wonderful night as your host. To all you TMV fans out there, follow me on Twitter at AliQuick, 2Ks at the end there. Watch Madden Nation Season 4, and stay tuned to next week and join us on the Madden Voice. Now, guys, enjoy week 4. T and Train and I talk about all the time that all fuels are settled on the field. And let's be honest, there's not many weeks of this. Enjoy it. It all flies by so quickly. Have a good night.